talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Yo, Chuck, we're gonna go ahead and play and sing at the same time. I want this to have the electricity of a live concert.
So we have to play it perfectly every time?
No, Burley. Play it unperfectly.
You mean imperfectly?
I mean perfectly.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah! Woo!
/V21N5/links.htm.
We know you will find it of interest. These are incredible, absolutely incredible times.
What?
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 What? What?
And now.
Thank you. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Thank you. Okay, we're back. Thank you.
Our feature presentation.
106.7 KRO FM.
Come on.
Well,
what?
Kevin had a streak going. The one day he showed up in the last week, he was here on time. So we have to give the boys some credit, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't show up on time every day.
Every day. Can't show up every day. Certainly can't show up on time every day.
Right.
Hey, it's not the monkey's fault, though. Apparently, the 405 is, he said closed. But Lisa, get on your magic box there and tell me what's going on, because that sounds way bad.
It's funny, because Muggs went through, and it wasn't closed, and I am trying to find a closure.
It could be closed, because Kevin takes the 101 to the 405, and I just shoot down the 405, so it could
Maybe that transition is closed. I'm still looking.
Or maybe he made it up.
Or maybe he hallucinated it.
You ever think the 405 is closed is the new liquid from the waist down, which is all you just ask, and people are just going to assume that you're telling the truth and that they won't source you on it? You ever think about that?
Quite possible.
If I don't show up for work, being tomorrow, I can say the 405 is closed.
405 is closed. Okay. Apparently that works.
All right.
See, you can't make up the 405 is closed, though, if you work at a job with a traffic reporter who has access to that information.
Well, now I see South 405 Sunset to Wilshire, all lanes. But you went through, and that was already open, right, Muggs?
Yeah. Sunset, they had a sign that said Sunset was going to be closed, and that was closed, but everything else was open.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's a mystery.
I don't know.
It's a mystery.
Oh, Kevin.
Someone's still in bed. That's what I'm saying. All right, welcome into an all-new Kevin and Bean Show this time for a Tuesday. We've got a tremendous show. 5 big guests on the Kevin and Bean Show today. But before we tell you about that, let me tell you about this. I think this is an interesting story. Iowa City, which used to be one of the Kevin and Bean affiliates back in the day. The great KCJJ carried us there. We had a lot of fans in Iowa City. This is a big story in their town because the Union Bar is in the news nationally after a 21-year-old University of Iowa student, Jordan Ramos, has visited this bar, the Union, twice in the past 2 months. Both times she was stopped by security guards from dancing on the platform overlooking the dance floor. You know, a lot of places have a place for you to dance, kind of get up in front of the whole bar and you know, shake what your mama gave you. When she asked security guards why they wouldn't allow her on the platform after her friends and others had been permitted, what do you suppose the reason was there, Lisa?
Oh, you're too fat.
You're too fat. And
no.
You're not pretty enough.
No.
Ramos says the experience has left her embarrassed and angry. She says she's heard from other people who have had similar experiences, and she is considering filing a complaint with the Iowa City Human Rights Commission. It made me start questioning myself and thinking, are my friends so much better than me? And of course, obviously, if I can interject, the answer is yes. I know they're thinner, but those bouncers made them seem more valuable. Well, they are more valuable if the goal of letting girls dance on the platform is to entertain other patrons.
Yes, but listen, if that's really what you want, then you hire the girls you want to dance up there and just let them do it. If it's for everybody, then it's for everybody. You let her in the club, that's that.
Well, you'll take her money, I guess, to if she wants to buy drinks and probably nachos.
Right.
But you won't let her dance because you feel like it gives your place a bad image or something because she's too fat.
Well,
is what they're saying.
That's just wrong.
Also, in the bar's defense, there probably is a weight limit on the bar. You know, it can only hold so much.
Well, this is a platform over the dance floor, and it sounds like there are several people dancing on it at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
just
unlikely.
A fun thing to do, something they offer for people to do. That's cool.
The student said she tried contacting bar management more than a month ago about the situation and has not received a response yet. So Linda Stewart Croon, director of the Women's Resource and Action Center, that sounds like a bad organization.
It sounds like a bad name, Croon.
said she was disappointed when Ramos told her what happened, although she wasn't surprised. I've heard similar stories before, she said. The pressures on young women are enormous. It isn't always as obvious as stories like this, but things like body image are a constant conversation among women. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I mean...
I don't either, but this is outrageous.
What? Who's that? What happened?
This
hey,
is outrageous,
how, what?
Whatever this story is.
Yeah, that's how I felt about your the 405 is closed story.
Come on, tell us the truth, Kevin.
We'll finish your story and then I will.
Okay.
Well, that is essentially what the end of the story is. Kevin, we were just talking about a woman in Iowa, a 21-year-old woman in Iowa, who was not allowed to dance on the platform above the dance floor like her friends were because they said she was too fat.
Yep.
They let her in the club.
Of
too fat to dance on the platform.
Well, of course. The platform can only hold so much weight.
Yeah, that's what Mug said.
Of course.
Stop it, both of you. Look, they're in Iowa. What do you expect? Move her your quote, club to LA if you want to be a snob like that.
Her quote is, we all paid the state cover charge to get into the bar, but we're not given access to the same things they have to offer. I feel like it is their job to provide everybody a great time, especially if everybody pays the same price.
You're fat.
So I don't know what's going to happen to that, but Lisa, it sounds like you're against it. I think I'm for it.
I'm against it.
I'm not sure which side it is, but that's absurd to have her be upset. Look, it only holds the platform only holds so much weight.
It's absurd to let her into the club
no,
and then that ladder. I mean,
not
if they
ever,
want just hot chicks
the
up
club,
there dancing, then just hire them.
But if you get into the club, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have the right to dance on the platform.
It's not a weight limit. Come
but on. What she's saying is that everybody else has the right to dance on the
all
platform.
Her friends get to.
Yeah.
Right. She's the only one that they turn away
right,
because she's fat and not pretty enough.
She's her friends plus 150 pounds.
Or maybe plus 30. We don't know.
Oh, please.
I've seen the picture. She could, I mean, look, these days, she would not, you know, stand out as being exceptionally heavy. I mean, she's a big girl, but
right.
there's lots of other big girls.
She gets on my elevator. I'm getting off. I haven't even seen her. All right, my story is the 405. There were signs saying it was closed at sunset, like Mug said.
Oh, the signs are still up.
But then it came to a complete stop, and I sat there for 5 minutes. But only 5 minutes. And then after 5 minutes,
everybody
just went full speed.
Huh.
Like they were getting something out of the road. Or,
yeah, they must have.
But, you know, I don't build in 5 minutes.
Yeah,
I got
that's an eternity.
I got like 30 seconds either side, and then I'm going to be late. So when they close it for 5 minutes, they're screwing me up by 4.5 minutes.
I hear you.
It's not right. Bean, saying I'm lying. I heard you.
Well,
we
did
suggesting.
Check.
We were just suggesting that maybe it was another one
saying
of
I was lying.
Kevin's Percocet fever dreams.
How dare you? By the way, I saw them last night at the Troop. Very good. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amicho, shall we?
That cannot happen.
Well, it's going to happen, whether you like it or not. Sal Masekela will be on
the
program today. He's one of our favorites. He's the host of the X Games, and the X Games have made some kind of changes. I'm not exactly sure what they are.
All I know is you now have to go to Thailand if you want to see them in person.
Is it just Thailand, or is it all over?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out from Sal. Apparently, they have done some expansion. He also, Dave is proud to say, is a huge Clippers fan.
So I know. I saw that.
Going to be on over the moon right now.
Yeah, he's and we have to bust him about this. He turned off the game, the first playoff game, when they were behind by 27.
Hilarious.
He just couldn't stand
turned off
watching
the TV,
it.
Couldn't stand watching it, and the team came back and won.
I've been there.
So Sal Masekela, tell us about the X Games. They're not all going to be here. I guess part of them will be here, and then part of them will be in other parts of the country, but then there's some kind of time travel. I don't know. I don't understand it. Mm. They're doing the surfing in the 60s, so that doesn't make sense to me. Max Greenfield would be here.
Schmidt.
How about Schmidt?
Yes.
From The New Girl.
Very excited.
Love that guy.
Beer Mug, you and he can compare workout tips.
Yeah.
He's probably a little bit more shredded than I am.
No.
I'm
you
just
think?
A tad.
He runs in place a little longer.
Has there ever been an episode of The New Girl where he hasn't taken his shirt off?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so. Jack Burdett will be here. He's one of the writers, one of the creators of 30 Rock.
Oh, I love
talking
that
talking about
show.
The live show that was last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We have Beer Mug's weigh-in.
Woo!
Which I can't wait for.
I'm feeling good. He had a great weekend.
I'm sure he did. Can't wait. Can't wait to see how many pounds he gained and how much he'll settle for.
I think it's going to be awesome when at the end of 3.5 months, he ends up exactly weighing the same amount as he started.
That will be funny. After all that, quote,
that's
effort,
where he's headed.
Unquote. Lamar Odom is not going to do a new reality show with Chloe because he's trying to get back into the NBA. He's going to focus on the NBA for once in his career. When he was with the Clippers, he had a lot, so much potential and didn't reach it. When he was with the Lakers, he almost reached his potential, but not quite.
And then he got Kardashian.
Then he got Kardashian, right. And then he got almost traded, and then he stormed in and made them trade him to Dallas. And then he went to Dallas and got cut. So he's been having a rough time. I'd suggest put down the weed. That'd be my
suggestion.
That'd
be number one.
Not that I know for a fact, but I'm just saying, strikes me as. Okay. Comedian Eddie Izzard will be on the program today.
Yes.
Wow.
Talking about a sci-fi movie that he's in. We have Relationship Revenge. We want to talk to you coming up in the next hour, in the 6 o'clock hour, if you got relationship revenge. Somebody hurt you, broke your heart, and did it maybe in a cruel way, and you decided that perhaps a cruel retaliation was in order. And we'll tell you a funny story about a guy who was dating a dentist and then went back to see her after they broke up. And I think you can see where that's going. Not good things. And we also have your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta, along with your backstage passes.
Cool.
And that's coming up
Optional
soon.
Optional clothing this year. You know
optional
that, right?
Clothing, that's correct, for the girls. Right,
just the girls?
Except this chick in Iowa City, if she's planning on coming out.
Except her, right. That's not right, because no one wants to see that. All right, so anyway, that's coming up. We've got that for you in a few minutes. As a matter of fact, you can win those tickets for the Weenie Roast very soon, so keep listening for that. And we got the Ralph Showbiz Beat coming up next. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 5:55. And just before we get to the Ralph Showbiz Beat, we're going to ask you to call in, because we're going to give away some tickets.
Yes.
For the sold-out 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta. If you would like to go, call now. It would help if you have a knowledge of lyrics. We're going to play a little game. 1-800-520-1067.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
What's going on?
Things.
Why do you say hey, Ralph Garman, the same way you say hey, Lisa May?
No.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
That's not how I said it at all. I said hey, Ralph Garman, as opposed to hey, Lisa. Very different.
Ralph.
Very different.
Yeah.
It's Tuesday. That means there's new releases for CDs, DVDs, and TV shows on DVD. If you're a fan of Suits, you can finally see season one all together, one box set, Suits. I didn't even know there was a TV show called Suits.
Was, and we would know that from,
I think it was one of those TNT or TBS.
I think
or,
so, and it was a new lawyer who was coming into a firm. Isn't Aisha Tyler
it's a
in that?
A fake lawyer? I don't know.
Yeah.
I need you all to stop talking about Suits.
Good
right
enough.
Now.
Good enough.
CDs on the new release list today, All or Nothing by Pennywise. You can pick that up. Strange Clouds by B.O.B. The Avengers Assemble soundtrack. Soundgarden, Rise Against, Bush, Papa Roach, and more.
Wow.
So you can check that out if you're looking forward to the movie. Little Broken Hearts by Norah Jones. Blown Away by Carrie Underwood. The Music of Smash by the cast of Smash. Smash. I'm actually watching Smash. I like
it. Are you?
I wouldn't buy the album.
Because of Cat McPhee, though?
No, I started watching for her, and now I'm caught up in the soap opera drama of it all. Yes. Born Villain by Marilyn Manson. A lot of CDs today. New DVDs. If you missed Joyful Noise, the choir movie with Queen Latifah and Dolly Parton, today's your lucky day.
Oh, man.
It's on DVD. Haywire, starring Gina Carano. That's available today. W.E., the Madonna-directed film about the King of England who had to abdicate because he fell in love with an American.
No!
Come on! She worked so hard on that film, she didn't even care about music anymore. I saw that in her acceptance speech at the Oscars.
I only care about my film.
They had to talk me into writing a song for the film because I was so preoccupied in my film and the success of my film.
So obnoxious.
And New Year's Eve, starring Halle Berry, Jessica Biel, John Bon Jovi, about people trying to get dates on New Year's
Eve.
That
was a movie, big director, huge stars, terrible script, right?
Yeah.
That was that one?
Gary Marshall, who brought you Valentine's Day.
Lisa, I'm sure you saw that, right, New Year's
I
Eve?
I didn't.
What?
Wow.
I saw Valentine's Day, so I knew what to expect.
So you knew that? Same thing?
Goodness. Yeah.
Michael Jackson.
Guilty.
He's alive. Not charged with anything, and no, he is still dead.
Hologram.
He's not a hologram. Right. However, he might have been quite the player.
Nope.
Yeah.
At the kindergarten set, or
how dare you, sir?
What player?
Matt Fitties, his bodyguard for 11 years.
Nice.
Did an interview this week that saying although Michael wanted the world to believe he was quote sexless, that was the persona he was trying to create for himself, the image of Michael Jackson he was trying to put out there in the world to make him sort of unique. He was very much a straight man. says Matt.
Okay.
In fact, Michael had an affair with Whitney Houston.
What?
What? He claims that Michael really fell for Whitney, even wanted to marry her, but was devastated when Whitney dumped him and then later wound up with Bobby Brown.
Well, that is a pretty big step down from Michael
but
Jackson
Matt
to Bobby
Fitties,
Brown.
The bodyguard said Michael loved the ladies. Yeah.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
It's not dirty.
Michael's doing the moonwalk all over that vulva. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. That was going to be the name of his last album before he tragically left us.
Was it? Bobby Brown, by the way, while we're talking about Whitney Houston, says don't blame him.
No.
Whitney was doing drugs way before they even met, he said.
Yeah, it's impossible.
So he did not introduce her to drugs and thereby share some responsibility for her death.
Bobby also what else says, can he say, really?
Bobby also says he's been clean for 7 years.
Really?
Yeah.
7 years.
And says that he was devastated when he found out that Whitney was still using cocaine. But he knows how hard it can be to quit, and so he's got sympathy more than he does anger.
If he's been clean for 7 years, why does he still keep getting in trouble with the law? I just wrote that off to he was high.
No, it's just his
it's
prerogative.
Like he's always in trouble.
Oh, God. Man.
What? I don't.
Come on.
I don't.
Come on now.
But I. But. What? And True TV has announced they're bringing us some excellent new reality show programming. Upload with Shaquille O'Neal.
Nope.
Shaquille O'Neal will host a show about the week's top web and viral videos. The hilarious world of viral videos with Shaq.
Well, there's no show like that on television.
That's right.
What?
Upload with Shaq.
You know, when you watch Tosh.0, he's witty and funny and can make asides and jokes.
Show my witty, man.
That's crazy.
That's funny. You got hit in the nuts.
Steve-O is going to host a show called Killer Karaoke on True TV. But I've saved the best for last. How about a game show where people have to answer questions while they're on a plane that is going through turbulence? Yes?
What?
It's called Turbulence.
No.
Hosted by Howie Mandel.
No, that's not.
Please
happening,
enjoy Turbulence, the game show.
You made
Howie
that
Mandel
up.
Asked you questions while your plane is going through turbulence.
It's not a real plane in the air there. They
it is a plane
right?
in the air and
how
you
do
go
they
through
find turbulence.
Turbulence.
They go look for it, Bean. Come on. Do you know anything?
They're just flying around yes. with a camera crew and contestants looking for turbulence.
Nope, can't ask a question yet. Things are too smooth.
Maybe they just start having the pilot just fly all,
right
all crazy. Yeah.
Okay, that's not a real thing.
Turbulence. Is this a game?
Is this a game where you ask us to identify which show you've just described
no.
is actually fake?
That is all true. It. True TV.
No. Sweet. No.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer-songwriter Ray Parker Jr. hates Bean's wife.
I love him.
He hates Bean's wife.
He does hate Bean's wife.
He's 58 years old today. Movie director Wes Anderson.
And yet somehow
Bean still loves him.
I
despite
do.
What he did to your wife.
I separate his art from his Nazism. Or whatever it was that happened.
Movie director Wes Anderson is 43 years old today. Former Mrs. Dexter Julie Benn celebrates her 40th birthday today. I miss her over there on that Dexter show.
She was great.
And actor Darius McCrary also celebrates his 36th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it is 9 minutes after six.
That synthesizer is aggressively 80s, isn't it?
Yeah, I like it.
That Linkin Park song? Hey, how about this weekend? How about Saturday, the sold-out 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta? It's happening Cinco de Mayo, Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. We got tickets all this week here on the Kevin and Bean Show, including right now Tickets in the Pit. What's this one called, Kevin?
It's the Wheel of Celebrities, the Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel of Celebrities, Wheel of Celebrities.
Tease, 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 tease. I like it. How's this one played?
This one is we spin the wheel, and it lands on a celebrity. He reads some lyrics. You just have to tell us what band and song title it is.
That okay. explains why all the celebrities are in that other room
That's
waiting
correct.
For their turn.
That's correct. It's hard to get them all here. When
I was surprised. I see Schwarzenegger and Pacino are out there at the water fountain. I was like, this is weird.
Love to hear what they're talking about, right?
All right. Well, let's see how it goes. So all you do is come up with the title and artist after we spin the wheel and find out which celebrity is going to be doing it for you. Tony gets us going. He is on line one here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Tony. Welcome to the show. What's going on, man?
Hey, Bean. Hey, Kevin. What's up?
Hey there. You ready for the wheel of celebrities?
I hope I am.
All right, here we go.
Very exciting.
I'm looking forward to coming here too.
Oh, it stopped on Mumford.
Yeah,
how about that, Mumford?
All right, so bring in Mumford.
Mumford is going to do some lyrics. You just have to tell us the band and the song title, okay?
Okay.
I've been waiting. I've been waiting for this moment all my life, but it's not quite right, and this real. It's impossible if possible, so whose blind words so clear but so unheard? How are those lyrics to any song? All right, Tony.
Yeah.
Band and song title. Just hang up on yourself, Tony.
That is incredibly hard.
Yeah. Not if you know the song Lazy Eye by the Silverstein Pickups.
I've been waiting for this moment.
All right.
Thank you, Mumford. Let's move on to contestant number two. This is going to be Eddie. Eddie on line two. Hi, Eddie. How are you, man?
Good morning.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good morning.
Do you work on the wave?
Are you at work right now?
Actually, yes. I'm supposed to be in a meeting, but I'm just in the hallway.
Fantastic.
Oh, okay.
Oh, great. Okay. All right, we'll go real fast.
It landed on Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Ah!
Fantastic.
Ah! All right, here's the words. Life goes on. It gets so heavy. The wheel breaks the butterfly, every tear a waterfall. In the night, the stormy night, she closed her eyes. In the night, the stormy night, fly, away she'd fly.
Okay, I think that's Coldplay.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
I'm going to go with Paradise.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
Shh. Don't get him in trouble.
Right. Can you hang on? The drawing. Hang on in the hall for just another minute.
Now he's got to wait to see if he wins.
Life goes on, it gets so heavy.
Hey, it's worth missing the stupid meeting if he wins tickets in the pit for the weenie roast, for God's sakes.
Let's go to Matt. Hi, Matt.
Good morning, guys.
Spin the wheel, see who's going to give you the lyrics. Oh, it's Al Pacino. Hey, fantastic. Al Pacino. Come on, you're up.
Oh. Take me to your best friend's house. Going around this roundabout. Oh, yeah. Take me to your best friend's house. I loved you then. I love you now. Oh, yeah.
Group love, tongue tied.
Nicely.
Yeah. Take me to your best friend's house. Go around this round.
Wow, I didn't think he was going to get it. He got it immediately.
Great song, too. Matt is in the drawing along with Eddie. Let's see how Ron does. He's up next on line four, playing the Wheel of Celebrities for Weenie Roast Pit tickets. Let's see who's going to be talking to you here, Ron.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, what's happening?
You get William Shatner. Congratulations.
While you were here, the fun was never ending. Laugh a minute was only beginning. Jason, my brother, this one's for you. Whoa. Oh, oh, oh. Whoa, oh, oh. Whoa. Oh. Oh!
What do you think they're on?
Oh, man. I don't know.
Come on.
You should
on.
Know. Jason, my brother, this one's for you is one of the biggest hits that's ever been given in lyrics.
Come on. Didn't the last time we played a game with this song, didn't they not get it?
Yeah.
All right, dude. Come on.
Yeah, we were looking for Pennywise Broham. Sorry about that. I think we got time for one more. It's going to be James. He's on line five. Hi, James. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You're trying to win pit tickets for the Weenie Rose. Good luck to you, my friend.
Thank you.
There you go. We're spinning the wheel, and it's landing on... Oh, Homer Simpson.
Oh!
Fantastic. Get Homer Simpson.
Oh, this is hard.
Can you read, Homer?
Sometimes.
All right.
A decade ago, I never thought I would be a 23 on the verge of spontaneous combustion. Woe is me. But I guess that it comes with the territory. An ominous landscape of never-ending calamity.
What band? What song title?
Incubus.
Yes.
We'll
give you a second. You got Incubus. Song title?
It's not on the edge of my tongue.
Did he say it's not on the edge of my tongue?
No,
on the
edge of his tongue. It's not there. Where is it?
I'm just going to say Stellar or something like that.
Oh.
No!
You want to tell him what it is, Homer?
No! Pardon me!
A decade ago, I never thought I would be at 23 on the verge of spontaneous.
Oh, you were so close and then you lost so much!
After Homer says it is not a time for you to win the game, I apologize.
You are a loser!
All right, I don't want to miss anybody. I know Eddie's in the drawing. How about Matt? Is that it? Just those two we're choosing?
Just those
all right,
two.
Lisa May is going to pick. Who's going to the Weenie Roast in the pit this weekend?
The winner is Eddie.
What?
Yeah. The winner is Eddie.
Eddie, it is meeting at work.
Eddie.
Hello?
Eddie, you still there?
Yes.
You won.
You got the
tickets. Are you serious?
Yes.
Yes.
Keep it down. Yes. Keep it down.
In the pit. Go to your meeting.
Thank you so much, guys. I love you guys.
We'll see ya.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 25 minutes after 6 o'clock. Why can nobody get bro him? Mm-hmm. Why does that happen? We've done this game three times, different games, to try and give away tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta. And bro him by Pennywise, which is, it seems like it should be the easiest one of all.
We're going to keep doing it until someone gets it. That's it.
Pretty recognizable lyrics.
Right.
Whoa, part. That's for sure. Yeah, I don't know. We're trying. Hey, crazy Kevin and Bean Show. We have five guests coming up on the program this morning. Plus, Beer Mug weighs in less than an hour. We'll find out how much weight he's gained. He's in the final month of the Beer Mug Weight Loss Challenge. So I hope he is starting to set aside a little money from every paycheck so that he can pay off the boys for not losing the weight. First up, relationship revenge is the topic. You know, if your big fear is, hey, we broke up and then he or she posted something mean on my Facebook page, then you're going to feel pretty good about what happened to this couple, because that's nothing compared to this guy.
This dude is an idiot, first of all.
Really?
Yes.
He's a cheap bastard.
Well, I mean, it didn't work out well for him, as we'll hear in a moment. And then we're going to take your calls of relationship revenges, whichever end you are on, at 1-800-520-1067. But I don't know. This couple in London, they break up. Maybe he thinks it's a civil breakup and they can continue to get along and be friends. And there's no reason to not trust her. Maybe he didn't understand how hurt she was when he decided to still go to her as his dentist.
Well, you know, he was getting free dental care when they were together. What do you want to bet he went in there and figured he could still get the same deal?
He could still get it free. He's an idiot. Look, if your girlfriend is a dentist and you break up with her,
yes,
don't go to her with teeth problems.
Well, I think that's obvious now based on what happened to this dude.
No.
But I think that it could have just as easily gone the other way if it had been a civil breakup and these people had both been adults.
But even if it was civil and they were both adults, wouldn't it be super awkward and weird? And just pick another. There aren't any other dentists. Well, I guess it's in England, so maybe not.
This could be the only one.
So anyway, he goes in. He says, I have this toothache is hurting right here. I can't get this one to stop hurting. So she puts him under and, you know, he goes home and unwraps things and realizes that he has no teeth. She pulled 32 teeth out of his mouth.
Oh my God.
Pulled them all.
The pain. Just the God. Not I can't even get my head
around
that.
His head with a bandage so he couldn't see it until he left the office.
Not a mountain happened to talk like this for life.
Here's the quote from the dentist. I tried to be professional and detach myself from my emotions, but when I saw him lying there, I just thought, what a bastard.
Yeah.
So he goes home, says he could tell something was wrong when he awoke and couldn't feel any teeth in his mouth. He said the dentist, his ex-girlfriend, had assured him that he'd be fine once the numbness wore off. I didn't have any reason to doubt her. I mean, I thought she was professional. But when I got home and looked in the mirror, I couldn't effing believe it. The bitch emptied my mouth. And to add insult to injury, by the way, then his new girlfriend dumped him because, well, she didn't want to date a guy without any teeth.
Well, yeah, he's going to go through the implant process. That's going to take years. It's a disaster.
That's
I would think that having all of your teeth taken out would put your body into shock. That seems like it's just major
well,
surgery.
It's not a thumbs up, if that's what you're saying.
And how do you eat? Are you just on a liquid diet?
Yeah,
is that the deal?
You're gumming food.
I can't get rid of this pink snake.
God.
This is almost too good to be true. I almost
want
to call BS on this story because it just seems like it couldn't have happened.
But I love
it
so much because it really could have. It's not that out of the ordinary. If she's a dentist, you know, she gives orders. She the people that work at her dentist office, they do what she says.
Yeah.
Right.
So the guy comes in. She says he's a last minute. So he needs his teeth pulled. I don't know how many times they do that, pull all the teeth. But we're looking for your relationship revenge, whether you did it to somebody or somebody else did it to you. Hopefully you weren't as dumb as this guy. You didn't have a dentist girlfriend and then go to her with dental pain.
Let's take Sue to kind of get us going. Then we'll come back with your phone calls, too, at 1-800-520-1067. What did you do? What did he or she do after the relationship went bust? I'm sure there's an unlimited amount of these stories out there, sadly. Hi, Sue. You're up first on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for calling.
Sure. My boyfriend drove my car into a wall, totaling it when I broke him up. Broke up with him and came out.
Drove it into a wall. He wasn't in it? He just started it going?
No, he was in it. He was so pissed. He went, jumped in the car, and drove it straight into a wall.
Well, oh, my God.
Are you kidding? He showed you that you shouldn't have broken up with him.
And you know what? He walks with a cane now. He's totally screwed his back up.
Well, so, really, he did that much damage to himself in the accident, huh?
Yeah.
Were you insured?
I was insured.
You were insured. So the only damage that was done was to him. Love it.
Exactly. It was great.
I love it.
I can't believe it. How, if you don't mind me asking, how far did he drive the car before he hit the wall? I mean, was this, 100 feet or something? Or was it just like 8 feet?
I'm going to guess about 60 feet.
Oh, my God. That's a pretty good head of speed on a car at 60 feet.
And he totaled it. I mean, that's a pretty good wreck.
Yeah, he totaled himself, too.
What a dumbass. Jeez.
Were you there? Did you see it happen?
No, one of my friends was there. See, and she told me about it.
See, this is so much better than the story we were talking about, because this guy ended up with no teeth, so he's the loser. In the end, I'm sure he'll get her back legally or whatever, but your boyfriend was dumb enough just to ruin your car and hurt himself.
Yeah, it was great.
Sweet.
Well, like Kevin said, that certainly solidified that you had made the right decision by getting rid of that guy. That's for sure. All right, Sue, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. Relationship revenge. Your story coming up next. Comedian, actor Eddie Izzard next hour on The Kevin and Bean Show, and our friend Jack Burden, who is the co-writer of 30 Rock, their live episode last week that was maybe the best live episode of television I've ever seen. And it's so crazy because the live episodes are never the best episodes of shows, but it was phenomenal. I want to find out all about how that was done coming up on The Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, we're talking about relationship revenge. We're talking about the story about a woman who is a dentist who pulled every tooth in her lying, cheating ex-boyfriend's mouth when she had the opportunity to do that.
Put him under, pulled all his teeth, sent him home, wrapped up so that he couldn't see anything. And then when he finally unwrapped everything, he was like, I am missing 32 teeth. By the way, she could face 3 years in jail.
I'm not surprised.
She should face 3 years in jail,
It'd
by the way.
It'd be funny if she just left one, wouldn't it?
Just one right in the middle?
Yeah.
That is assault or something. I don't know what it is, but that's way bad. Let's take Aaron now on line two here. We're taking your calls on relationship revenge. What did you do or what did someone do to you after a breakup? 1-800-520-1067. Aaron, thanks for hanging on, man. What happened to you?
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
I had an ex-girlfriend that she broke up with me and I didn't understand why, so long story short, I decided to go by her house one time, and I saw that one of my old best friends was there.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to drain her motor of all oil, put water and salt in there.
Water and salt in there instead of
lifted truck. So it was just kind of lay underneath it, drain it out, put the other chemical in there so that she could still drive it because it won't rust right away. She could drive it for a while, and then it'll just grenade.
In your defense, once a young couple breaks up, she should never be allowed to date again.
Kinda. Not all cases, but some.
Do you know how that ended? Did she ever?
I heard through the grapevine that she kind of got in a little car accident because it seized up on her and she couldn't control it.
Oh, Aaron,
she hit a tree or something.
The only thing that would have been better is had she died in that accident because of your
bad human being. Thank you for the call. Yes, don't man.
Lisa, speaking of going by the ex's house, anything you want to share with the class?
So there was this guy I was dating. It was like three, maybe 4 years. We met back in high school. No. So
keep going.
See where I'm going there. I was dating a guy, and we'd been dating a while. And
Lisa was six.
Yeah, exactly. And I had a feeling he was seeing someone that he used to see.
Mm-hmm.
So I made up an excuse at work, actually, and drove to the place. And there was his car parked out front.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to have a spare key of the girl's house.
Okay.
At middle of the afternoon. We know what's going on. So I had a key. And I took his car and moved it into the next neighborhood over. I couldn't move it that far because I had to get back to my car.
Sure.
But I moved it a good way. So.
And he couldn't see it. And he had no idea what happened to it, where it went. Did you ever hear if he ever found it? Or
he did eventually find it. But I think at first he thought it was stolen.
Of course. Yeah. You walk out and your car is missing from in front of your house. Of course you do.
Yep.
That's awesome.
And
by
then
the way,
I
Lisa,
set it on fire.
Yeah. Oh, sweet.
Listen to this from Bobby, who emails in. I dated a girl for a while. In the end, we split up. I was ticked off at how it ended. At the time, I was learning locksmithing. So you can see where this is headed.
Sure.
What does a locksmith do when he is scored? I changed all of the locks in her house while she was at work. I never told her, and she had to get them all rekeyed. That's awesome.
Sweet.
All right. Let's take, how about Sergio? He's on line one here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hi, Sergio. Thanks for calling, man. What's your relationship revenge story?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
It's going well.
We actually already moved past that and went to what's your relationship revenge story?
I was with a lady much older than me. I was 25. She was 42 at the time.
Nice.
And she always had issues with me leaving her for somebody my age, and she would always throw it back in my face, and it was always an argument. So,
like, it's your fault, by the way, that you're 15 years younger than her.
Yeah, and so, you know, I finally broke up with her, and we called it quits. Months later, you know, I my current girlfriend now, she finds out about it, and she started threatening me. She calls me right away, started threatening me about some warrants I had. She was going to call the cops.
Hey, I don't think we need any of this, by the way. Get to the relationship revenge part.
Wait a minute. So who did the revenge? Was it the older one or the current one?
No, yeah, she, while I was at work, she calls me, threatens me, but while she's threatening me, I'm at work. She's at my house cleaning me out.
Who?
She took all my furniture in
the
my
older
living room.
Woman.
The older woman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she showed up at your house and took all of your furniture?
While I was at work.
Nice.
Sweet. All right.
Wow.
An F for storytelling, but a pretty good revenge. Thank you.
We didn't need the whole triangle of who was involved. Just my ex cleaned out my house.
So
that's where you start that story,
I went to work, and I was working. It was a decent day at work. I didn't have a lot to do, but. All right. Let's take one more. K-Rock, hello. Who's this?
This is Marco.
Hey, Marco. What happened?
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I was just letting you guys know that I had proposed to my ex-girlfriend with a ring, and then we had broken up, and, you know, several months along the line, I find someone else. I, you know, proposed to her. When my ex found out about it, she started telling all my coworkers and put on Facebook that I proposed to her with her old engagement ring.
Wait, so she said the ring that you had given the new girl was actually her previous piece of jewelry?
Yes.
She was just trying to run it down to get in the other girl's head that she was wearing used jewelry.
Exactly. And then
that's pretty strong.
She put it on Facebook. She told all my coworkers. So I come to work, and everyone's looking at me like I'm the scum of the earth. And
she wins.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just you walk around with a broken reputation.
Yeah.
Yep, you got owned, man. Looks like she got the last laugh. Well done. Foo Fighters coming up. Also, Gautier, M83, Green Day, and Beer Mug weighs in coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph Garman is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
How long are you going to do this Beer Mug weighs in thing?
It's got another 4 weeks.
One more month.
Well,
really?
Every
week we have to do this.
I'm going to allow him to settle today if he'd like.
I'm going to make him a counteroffer.
What?
A counteroffer. To make this whole thing a little bit more interesting.
Okay. All right.
Oh, I can't
wait. Weigh him next, and then we'll hear your counteroffer. And then we got Eddie Izzard coming up.
You understand, Ralph, that in 11 weeks, he has lost 7 pounds.
Yes, I do realize that.
If he keeps up at that rate.
I do you realize you keep weighing him on the radio every week? Do you realize that's happening?
I can't wait to hear your counteroffer.
Each week, you put him on a scale, and you broadcast that as if it's a segment of a radio show.
Well, it is a segment of a radio show. We're following along. We're tracking his progress.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people in the audience look pissed.
You think that makes good for good radio?
I don't know. I'm enjoying it.
I don't think half of what we do makes good radio, but...
All right. Just saying. Maybe the reason they don't send you those prizes you win.
Fake prizes?
Yeah.
It's false.
Bean's very upset he's not getting his awards.
Well,
Well, I'm not upset. I just
where's my award, Dave?
I don't care about an award. I just
it reads like you do.
Well, let me explain it to you then. We keep hearing from other people that we won these, in some cases, prestigious awards like the National Association of Broadcasters names us, you know, best radio show. Uh-huh. Yet we never hear from anybody. We never get nominated. We don't get invited to the thing. We don't get even a letter in the mail that says we've won it.
To protect our feelings, Dave, the King of Mexico, has been doctoring those for years.
Yeah.
Okay.
He just says,
making up those fake emails.
Kevin and Bean won.
Oh, you missed out. You won something. It was great. Oh, wow. I don't know where the award went or why you weren't invited, but you won, guys.
Great
You're the
job,
best.
Everybody.
Yay. You're good.
Time for the showbiz.
Where are my awards? Chris Allen, he won something. He was American Idol Season 8 champ.
I don't even remember his name.
Remember Chris Allen? He was the champ.
I don't watch, but he's
the one who won over Adam Lambert, if I recall correctly, Ralph.
Most of the winners, you can sort of remember from just them being in the media. But
I remember the first couple, and then it's all blur after that. Yeah, Chris Allen, Season 8 champ of American Idol, got in trouble this week.
Uh-oh.
He tweeted to his follower that he was going to be at Santa Monica Pier at 8 p.m. with an acoustic guitar playing some songs.
Okay.
His tweet ended, you, me, a couple of tunes, ocean breeze, birds pooping on us. It's going to be great. Well, believe it or not, there's some people who actually follow this guy, and they showed up.
How many?
Everyone was having a great time. Doesn't say here how many, but Chris was playing his heart out, and his fan was really loving it, and it all came to an end when the police came up to him and said, hey, where's your permit?
Oh.
Where's your permit, a-hole?
Really? To just play music on
Didn't have one, so they kicked him off the pier.
Wow. And then that guy yelled,
dude used to be the American Idol. He used to be the Idol of America, according to his title, American Idol.
Wouldn't you like to hear
now that? Now he can't play a couple songs.
Wouldn't you like to hear that conversation between the cop and him? Dude, I'm just... Dude, I just want to play a song.
Okay, you know American Idol? I won! I was the guy! I was the champ!
Can I finish the song I was just... No?
Tell your story walking. Okay. That's what the cop said.
Fan, follow me.
Yes, let's go.
Go to my car, I'll finish the song.
Now I'm a marching band. Gabourey Sidibe is a lot of woman. She, of course, was Precious. She nabbed an Oscar nomination, of course, for her work as Precious. She says she met Joan Cusack at a party before hitting the big time. And Joan Cusack told her to quit the business. Because it was so image conscious that she would never work.
That girl's fat.
Well, she seems to have been getting work since
she's on the big C.
Yeah.
This is before she won her Oscar nominated role, by the way.
I got to tell you.
I can see that.
I can see that too. Someone's been in business for a long time. Yes. And look, sweetie, I appreciate you might be very talented, but you just got too much against you.
Can I imagine Joan has fought those battles herself?
She's right for the most part, but there are people who get through, break through because they have talent.
Yeah.
And a lot of it.
True the story that she left her home.
Gabourey Sidibe?
Yeah, on vacation or something. Left her window open. When she came back, it was about a dozen squirrels living in her bedroom.
No.
Is there a bad surprise? No.
Set up.
No, she had to have people come in. She had to have a varmint removal service come in and get rid of the squirrels in her bedroom.
Well, imagine how much food is laying around that house there. You can hardly blame the squirrels for going in.
Don't you do it. See? Don't you lose a single pound. I don't care what those Hollywood image makers say. Big women are sexy.
See what Bean did there?
Yeah.
Had to bring it back around, man. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Julie Benz. You may know her best as Dexter's wife on the TV series Dexter, but she was also in Rambo, too, the most recent Rambo movie.
You ain't safe from nobody.
When you're pushed, killing's as easy as breathing.
Right, easy as breathing. You ain't got nobody.
She's 40 years old today. Wes Anderson, movie director's 43. Ray Parker Jr. He's 58 years old today.
Just waiting for Bean to make whatever noise he's going to make.
There's something. I figured he would have kind of a noise. Something loaded up in the barrel.
Move right on,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, Kevin, you hate all things old, but you still love Ghostbusters. What's your thought on Ray Parker Jr.'s classic Ghostbusters theme song? Is that a song that you have any time for?
It has not dated well. It's not a song. I wasn't listening to it on the way in this morning, if that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Ray Parker Jr. is 58 years old.
That song is so unbelievably 80s. It was dumb as hell when it was out.
Yeah, I don't know why we all enjoyed it so much.
Yeah, it was a movie.
Who stole what from whom? Did he steal that from I Want a New Drug, or did I Want a New Drug steal that from him?
I don't know. I was just having that same conversation in my mind. I don't remember who ripped.
Remember, there was a lawsuit, though.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Huey Lewis probably did it. That bastard. That thieving bastard.
That's the way he is.
Just saying that in case Jimmy Kimmel's listening. Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Got more tickets for you to win your way into the sold-out 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta this Saturday at Verizon. They're going to be backstage passes, too, at 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. So definitely hang on in there. We got a lot of great show between now and then, including Eddie Izzard joining us in just a few minutes.
200 credits on the line here for Beer Mug. He decided that he wanted to lose 30 pounds, and so we said, all right, Dave and I put 100 credits each on it, and Beer Mug's about to have to pay off.
Has lost 7.3 pounds in 11 weeks.
But
before he hops on the scale to see how he does this week, in the great tradition of game shows like Deal or No Deal, Ralph Garman has joined us in studio. And I understand that you've got a little proposition for the mugs.
Well, this segment for me has just become unbearable because we knew early on there was no way Beer Mug was ever going to achieve his goal. So I thought this weigh-in sort of became anticlimactic because we knew he wasn't going to do it and he wasn't going to lose much weight and it wasn't really going to happen. And just 3 months of that is just a long, long time. So I thought for the benefit of everyone who listens to the show, as well as Beer Mug himself, who's not going to lose the weight.
Oh, come on, Ralph.
Who is going to have to pay $200.
It's only 4 weeks, and we've seen what you've done in 11.
Yeah.
So it's just not so much from you.
3 months to lose 30 pounds. You've lost 7 in 11 weeks.
I've been cruising.
Hear him out.
I'm saying that in order to make it interesting for everyone and to play to your strength, since you're going to lose $200, I'll give you a chance to earn $100. Mm-hmm. You've lost 7 pounds so far. In the next 4 weeks, if you can put back on twice that, if you can gain 14 pounds, if you can gain 14 pounds in the next 4 weeks, I will give you $100.
No doubt in my mind I could physically do that. No problem. But
that's what you're good at. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're good at eating and drinking and doing everything that you're not.
And not exercising.
That you're not doing now in order to lose the weight. So I'm saying in order to play to your strength, in order to make you a couple bucks, and to put some interest back in this segment for me so I can see how much weight you've gained each week, which I know you'll achieve.
I like it.
In 4 weeks.
At least we have a fighting chance.
Right. At least we have something to build towards in a month. At least we got some reason to check in with you to see what's going on. If you can double your weight loss, if you can gain back the 7 you've lost and then gain another 7, a mere 14 pounds in 4 weeks, I'll give you $100.
Don't answer yet, Beer Mug, because Dave, the King of Mexico, just weighed in. He will add $150 to Ralph's $100.
This is like a telethon. You can actually make a profit on this. Finally, one opportunity for you to make a profit in this situation.
And I'll add $100.
Oh, my God.
That's
$150. All right, I'll add $100 to that.
$250.
Omar's in for $100.
You're up to $350.
I think it's $450. So
yes.
Look, you guys,
you could lose 200 mugs or win almost 500.
Wow,
that $450 is a lot of money to Beer Mug, by the way.
It's a lot of money for anybody.
That's very tempting. Very, very, very tempting.
Before you answer, $450.
Yeah. I know.
At least he'll throw in $5.
I'll throw in $5.
It's something you can actually achieve and something we can actually follow along with, and people will be interested because there's a chance you might actually do this thing as opposed to the other thing. There was no chance of you doing it.
By the way, an update. I just added it all up. It's $550.
Well, no, he's got to pay out the $200.
Right. Oh, right. So then he'll end up with $350. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he's
going
to lose that part of the bet, but this way he gets a chance to make some profit.
See, I look at it either way. I could either eat all that food in 4 months or 4 weeks, sorry, and gain all that weight.
Right.
But I might not hit the double weight that is intended.
Which would be really funny.
Which would suck. So I...
Wait a minute, wait a minute. For 11 weeks you've been, oh, where do you guys see? I'm going to pull the trigger. Oh, it's going to happen. You're so convinced that's going to happen. Something you cannot do. This you absolutely can do, but now you're like, oh, I don't know if I'll be able to do that or not. How can you not have the same confidence in the possible as you do the impossible?
Well, the heaviest I've ever been in my life has been 230, and I haven't really been over that.
Because you haven't concentrated your efforts.
Yeah, but...
You've been as lazy in gaining weight as you have been in losing it.
I'm not lazy in gaining weight.
If you put your mind to it, you do it.
Well, I thank you for the offer, Ralph. Everybody, Omar, Dave, Kevin, Lisa,
yeah,
your $5.
Five, yeah.
But I'm going to have Bean. I'm going to have to respectfully decline.
Well, step on the scale, and then we'll decide.
We'll give him one more chance.
219.5 is where he was last week. 219.5. 219.
So I gained last week.
Yes, 219.5. Here we go. Then you can decide whether you want to gain or lose. 219.5. 219. Drum roll again, please. 219.5.
How tough is it to read a number? Come on.
217.5.
All right, he lost 2 pounds.
217.5.
A half a pound farther than you were 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
That's correct.
Just to put our heads around it.
Again. Just to make sure we know the overall picture.
Which do you want to pick?
I have one month.
You have to do this.
Stop saying that.
I'm going to try to be an inspiration.
Let me just rephrase what Ralph just said.
Yes.
You can't do that. You. Not people. Yeah. You can't do that.
You can't lose 20 pounds in a month. You can't do it.
And it's possible.
Hold on.
Not for you, it's not.
For other people. Now, that's impossible, but you're confident you can do it. What Ralph is saying is you can gain this weight.
You can gain 14
Anyone can gain that kind of weight. That's a gimme.
So I have to be over 226, 14 pounds over 226? Double what I originally started is what you said.
Whatever you've lost. Whatever you've lost, gain that back and then gain that same amount again.
Okay, okay.
So get back to your original weight and then put another 7 or 8 or whatever it is now on top of that.
That'd be like 235 pounds. Nah, I'm going to have to decline. I'm going to have to decline.
Wow.
I don't want
a winner.
Yeah.
You're not a winner.
So you just want to just lose?
So you just want to pay $200 and not
achieve
your goal? So
he wants to not lose the weight and lose all the money. Yes,
31
that's what
days.
He's decided.
That's you in a nutshell. That really represents what a winner you are, is to fall short of your goals and to lose money doing it.
Yeah, I got 31 days left.
With
it's
options,
not over.
Ralph. With another option, which is to play to his strength.
It's kind of a catch 22 there.
Can I say it isn't a catch 22?
Yeah.
You're not going to make...
Because one thing you could do and one thing you can't do.
Yeah, but I'll be...
That's not a catch 22.
I'll be fatter than I was when I started.
Yes, but you'll be richer. This way you're going to be poorer.
You could always lose weight.
That's right. Yeah, you've proven that. Just pull the trigger. You guys will see.
100% I'm a runner. 100%
I can lose whatever I want. Just gain this weight, win some money, and then lose all the weight.
I was in
my
backyard running in place.
Yeah, I ran around my pool twice.
All right, we are out of time, Beer Mug.
I'm out of patience.
Me too.
I'm with you. We had a fantastic time a couple of weeks ago at Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness at the Gibson Amphitheater. Our friend Eddie Izzard was the headliner. He was amazing as always. And we get a chance to see him back on our TVs this Saturday night at 7 on the Sci-Fi Channel in an all-new retelling of the classic Treasure Island. Eddie Izzard back on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
I am very good. How are you?
Great to talk to you. I love the fact that you are reinventing Treasure Island for a whole new generation. This is a book that has been around for, 150 years or something, right?
I think it was the mid-1800s that he wrote, Robin Hood Stevenson wrote it, and it's about the mid to late 1700s. But there's about 50 versions of Treasure Island in the English language. This is a bit of a weird statement, but I think what we've done could be the best one. Which I kind of would say, but it's such a... I said I'd only do it if it's a really gritty version, because I think Treasure Island got lost in some sort of rather campy, slap-your-thigh, piratey-type stuff. And I said I'll do it if they can redo the script so that it has this very edgy... We're kind of like a Goodfellas edge, so I'm very proud with what we've done. Elijah Wood's in it, Donald Sutherland's in it.
Wow.
A lot of great British actors are in it.
So you thought to yourself, kids are too happy... And this has been too Disney-fied, and you need to take the story back.
Well, that's kind of it. It's not that they're too happy, but I think they like adventures and real adventures. I mean, there's pretend adventures, and then these are 20 characters go out there to try and get what is equivalent of $500 million buried on an island, and only four come back.
Sweet.
You can do the mathematics and work it out.
Eddie, you've done so many different kinds of acting jobs, you know, from the Riches to the Ocean's movies, United States of Terror. I mean, you've been in a lot of different things, but I don't think we've ever seen you like this with the shaved head and the tattoos on your skull and really being like a super scary badass. It looks like as an actor, this is the kind of role that must be a blast to play.
It is. It's a great role. It's a classic role. I've changed the accent. Americans won't be able to notice this, but it's normally done with a West Country accent, and I've done this with a London accent, but that's just for me, and the Brits might have noticed that. But he's such a changeable character. He goes one way, then the winds change, and he blows a different way, then he goes against the pirates, and then he's working with the cops and the officers. But it's a great adventure story about basically this kid, Jim Hawkins, and the fight for his soul. Between John Silver pulling him one way, my character, and the Captain Smollett, played by Phil Glenister, pulling him a different way, whether he's going to become a pirate in his future or a gentleman.
This sounds great. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's great. It's a very punk look as well. The tattoos, the shaved, the Mohicans. I just love this version. And it went down so well in the UK that we're doing Treasure Island 2 now.
Oh, no kidding.
Wow. Now, forgive my historical ignorance here, Eddie, and as we've discussed when you've been on the show many times before, we're all intimidated by how much you know about everything. But pirates, forget the Disney version, pirates were really, and maybe still are in the 21st century, badass, like no rules kinds of guys who just take what they want. They're terrifying in real life, right?
And stab each other in the back and all that.
That's exactly right. They're scumbags. I mean, they're villains. And with villains, you can actually get people, villains of honor and then villains of no honor. And if we think about the Somali pirates down in the Gulf of Aden, just off the place where I was born, they're very dangerous. But the weird thing is if you have pirates plus time equals romance. That's what it is. Present-day villains scare the hell out of us, but the villains from 300 years ago, it suddenly becomes romantic because you don't know exactly who they're killing because you've forgotten all the names. So
yes, interesting.
So the violence is all good. I like it.
Now, are there parrots in the 1800s version of a pirate, or is that something that came along later in the legend?
No, I think that was built into his story, and there were three pirates in Dublin where we filmed all the initial scenes, and then we went to Puerto Rico and another two or three there. So I got used to working with pirates, and the bizarre thing is you can't get to know them too well, otherwise they won't leave you, they just chase after you, it seems. And they also, pirates only act into the wind.
What?
They don't actually do much acting.
Oh, because of the wind blowing in their hair?
Yeah, they don't want the wind blowing up their feathers. They've got to blow down their feathers. So if you turn away from being into the wind, the parrot will turn around. So he's standing the wrong way on your shoulder, which is very bizarre.
Eddie, you may have been studying pirates a little too much.
No, but what he's saying is you literally can't film the scene that way. You have to turn everything around so that the parrot is facing in the right direction. I think that's hysterical.
Yeah, it is. It just, whatever you do, the parrot will not do that. You'd have to get a wind machine and blow the wind backwards or something if you're going to try and do it against the wind.
I love it. Elijah Wood is in the film. Also, Donald Sutherland. Of course, Eddie Izzard stars as Long John Silver. The new version of Treasure Island premieres this Saturday night at 7 on the Sci-Fi Channel. It does sound fantastic. And Eddie, thank you again for your generous time on the night of the April Foolishes show. It was great to see you again. We really appreciate it. We raised a ton of money for charity. I hope we get a chance to see you again soon.
That's excellent. Thanks. It was great to do it.
Thanks, Eddie.
Bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
So loud. It's like yelling.
Get off my lawn, you kids. With your loud rock and roll and your lava lamps.
What's wrong with you, old man? Turn down your headphones.
Say it. It's loud.
It's 7:38, Kevin and Bean Show.
Sal Masekela talks X Games coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Max Greenfield from the TV show The New Girl is going to be joining us. Hey, speaking of TV shows... 30 Rock, which is one of my favorite shows, did their live episode, their second ever live episode on NBC last week. And, you know, I tuned in because I'm a fan of the show. I watch it every week. But I thought, well, it's a novelty, but it's not going to be as good as a regular show. Maybe one of the best episodes, maybe the best episode of 30 Rock ever. And it was live. How is that possible, I thought. So we thought we'd ask that question to the man who co-wrote the episode, who joins us, co-executive producer of 30 Rock, Jack Burdett, in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Jack.
Hi, Jack. How are you, man?
I'm doing
great.
I am so excited to be here.
Yeah, you're weird.
That is odd.
Jack, to the show forever. Here's the thing. We were going to talk to Jack on the phone, and he insisted on coming in. And we're like, what?
Can I come in? I'd like to see how everything works. Does that make me weird? I said, yes.
Weird? I'm casing the joint.
there's nothing going on over here, Jack.
But look, right. The ER went live. Remember that one? The big ER live special?
Yeah, I like that, too. I love live television.
I didn't like that. I thought it was subpar compared to most ER episodes. But in this particular case, it seems to have outdone a regular show.
Yeah, the 30 Rock, both versions, I was lucky enough to see the East Coast and West Coast live. They were as jam-packed with jokes as one of those episodes gets, just one after another, really, really funny stuff.
So tell me the challenges of doing a live show. Is it something that you as the writer look for? You as the writer look forward to, or is it just, okay, we got to just do the best we can with this and hope for it?
We did a live episode last season, and it was more along the lines of a regular episode of 30 Rock, and it was very difficult to get all the shots or whatever, but I think we pulled it off. And I think the thought this time was, how can we top it? And we have this incredible cast who's very good at sketch comedy, Tina and Alec and Tracy and Jane and the whole gang. And we thought, let's embrace the live aspect of it.
Kind of made it a plot point for this year's episode.
Yeah, and just kind of do a kind of a tip of the hat to live television through the years. And
because the cutaways almost felt like sketches. It was almost like a mm-hmm. variety show or Saturday Night Live where you'd go away and there'd be a whole new setup and a whole new sketch that you're watching on the other side.
Right, right. And I think that was Tina's idea to first do that. She's one of the great sketch writers.
Tell us about her. Tell us about Tina Fey. Beans had a crush on her. We all love her. She's very funny.
We all love her. I mean, she is the best. She's the best writer I've ever worked with. Her talent is kind of overwhelming. It's I feel lucky to, after 6 years, to still be able to go to work with her every day.
And a great actress, too. She really delivers on that show.
She is fantastic.
I imagine the big fear for the actors, and as you mentioned, a lot of the cast has, you know, comes from a lot of experience with live, with SNL, but the fear is you're going to screw up a line somehow, or you're going to step in the wrong spot or something like that. You're going to somehow screw it up and it's live. You don't have a chance to do it again. Is this a show that you have to write early in the week and just rehearse the crap out of it before the live night gets there?
Yeah, I mean...
Is that TV talk? Rehearse the crap out of it?
Rehearse the crap. That is exactly, yeah. I mean, we wrote it a couple weeks in advance. I have the table read like 2 weeks before we did the show, and then we got into we filmed it on the SNL stage, where we usually don't film our show. We're usually in Queens, and so we got in Monday, and they started rehearsing, and the acting was great. And then it was bringing in the cameras and trying to figure out how to get people from scene to scene.
Right, those breakaways had to be tough going.
It was
the commercials
insane.
And stuff.
Yeah, because you've got Alec Baldwin playing Jack Donaghy in one scene, and then he's got to be a Dean Martin type guy 30 seconds later on another set.
And that was the frightening part. Like, can we pull that off? And
was that the frightening / fun part?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it was terrifying all week long, but it was also about as much fun as I've ever had in television.
Yeah. How do you – I mean, you have a long history on 30 Rock. Almost every week it seems like there's another guest star. But how was the decision made? I mean, you must have had 10 different guest stars stop by. You know, celebrities, Brian Williams and Kim Kardashian and whoever it was. I mean, how do you jam all those into a show?
Well, I mean, we're lucky that everybody seems to want to do the show or whatever. But
Lorne Michaels is one of the producers. He's got those connections from all those years of working on Saturday Night Live. So
I mean,
if you want Paul McCartney, he's able to get him for you, right?
Yes. Lorne got Paul, and which was great. We knew we had Paul for the East Coast. And then
what happened, Jack? The East Coast people, they get Paul McCartney as the hilarious cameo on their show.
He wasn't in the West Coast?
No, he wasn't.
What?
You know who we got? Porn star Kim Kardashian. That's who showed up on our version.
Looks better.
But still.
I can't take credit for McCartney, so I am not going to take the blame for Kim Kardashian. I think part of it was, like, we're not going to be able to top McCartney.
And he's not going to stick around for 3 hours.
Right, right. So, you know,
You go, what's the opposite of a Beatle? A Kardashian?
What's the opposite of really talented and really famous for a good reason?
Who's done the most ever to be famous? Who's done the least? Do you guys ever get starstruck by guest stars on a show like 30 Rock, or are you just all show business and all, you know, just used to it?
Oh, no. I mean, I think we were all just stunned when McCartney walked in.
And, yeah, that's pretty cool.
You know, and he rehearsed really quick and, you know. He did a perfect, which is good, because who wants to give him a note?
Nope.
Hey, can you try that again? You're a little pinchy, dog.
Was that an ad-libbed moment where he slapped Baldwin across the face?
It was.
Oh, I loved that moment. That was pretty spectacular.
How did you get away with it? I asked you this on Twitter, but I still can't believe it aired on a network in the 21st century. How did you get away with the Amos and Andy sketch with Tracy Morgan and John Hamm from Mad Men doing the old style, you know, the stuff that hasn't been seen on television in 50 years? How did that get by?
With John Hamm in pseudo blackface.
Yes.
They didn't go full blackface.
But it was basically, hello there. I mean, basically, that's what you were doing. How did you get away with that?
Well, I mean, it sort of is based in historical fact. I mean, part of the fun that I had, you know, Tina and I had while writing the show was we watched a lot of YouTube, a lot of old live stuff, and we really could have gone a lot worse.
Sure.
And been historically correct. So, you know, this was...
I also think it was Tracy's outrage that grounded the sketch.
Because
he kept saying, in God's name, as human beings, please stop talking like that. It was just a great comment. I mean, great satire, but great comment, too, on what was happening present day as well as historically regarding that sketch. I mean, it was great writing. Just great
writing. We have a clip we want to play. Again, Jack Burton is in studio right now. He is the co-writer of last week's live 30 Rock episode and a co-executive producer of the show from the beginning. And this is a clip that we want to play. That this was for the West Coast version of a news segment that you were doing. And it's a takeoff on the old, what, Brinkley and what's his face?
Huntley and Brinkley.
Yeah, Huntley and Brinkley, right.
Brinkley and what's his face?
So this is Alec Baldwin along with the real-life news anchor for NBC, Brian Williams. And they just can't get their head around the fact that this reporter they're throwing it to is a woman and not a man. Because what the hell is a woman doing on television? Listen up.
Thank you, Chet and David.
I'm sorry, sweetheart. Could you move out of the way of our camera? We need to talk to our new reporter there, Jamie Garnett. Now, where is he?
I'm Jamie Garnett, gentlemen. I spoke earlier with...
Listen, doll, you're not making any sense. Probably hysterical from menstruation. Go lie down and make sure you get plenty of iron. Maybe eat a ham salad.
Also, I'm being told that Commander James Lovell is...
Look, honey, you have a dynamite shape, but you're going to have to shut up and let a man tell us what's happening. Now, is your father or a policeman nearby?
Yeah.
Favorite line. Now, where did you find that microphone, Sugar Mouth? Was it just lying there on the ground? Where is Jamie Garnett?
This just in, the NBC male news reporter Jamie Garnett is missing.
I love their voices, too, the way they do the news.
Is your father or a policeman nearby?
Is that real studio laughter? You don't sweeten that on the fly when a show is live, right, Jack?
No, that was real. I mean, and it's something that we're not used to doing it in front of them, having laughter. And there was always a time issue with this. We had to come in on time. And so our actors just kept pushing through the laughs, which... Yeah.
I thought Williams did a better job than John Hamm did in that scene. Between the two versions, John Hamm did the East Coast version,
oh, really?
And Williams did the West Coast. And I thought his performance was outstanding, really.
It was so great. Williams did not do the East Coast version because I think he was interviewing Obama. So he goes from there and then comes in and does.
That's so funny.
He has such a great sense of humor.
Did you make any changes based on anything that didn't work in the first version of the show and punch it up or something?
Yeah,
for the
they took out
round?
Sir Paul McCartney.
I think we made a couple cuts. We ran a little bit long in the first one, and they had to dump a promo. Which NBC doesn't like to do,
they
or
don't
something
know.
Like that. So I think we made some cuts, but we wanted to try a couple different jokes even from the start. So we like to change things up, and you know, we did some different commercials and everything.
Yeah,
like
I noticed in the flashback to the Honeymooners spoof, the Lovebirds. I think Tina said at first her marriage was a sham and her makeup lady was her lover. And then in another episode, she said Orson Welles gave me herpes. I think was the variation on that. In the show.
You have a job where you write about Orson Welles giving somebody herpes. That's a fun job, Jack.
I feel lucky.
It was a great, great half hour of television. Real quick, before we say goodbye, and it's so wonderful to finally have you in here, but what's this? I mean, we're into that time of year now where they're making the decisions about what shows come back. I mean, please tell me 30 Rock's not in any danger, right?
I mean, we'll be back, I'm sure. We haven't heard anything.
We'll burn this mother down. I don't know what mother I'm talking about, but we're going to burn it down if it's not.
Well, Jack also created Tim Allen's Last Man Standing, so let's hope that comes back, too.
Well, let's not get mean, Ralph. I mean, he's our guest, okay? Thanks, Jack.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world-famous K-Rock at 7:55.
If you follow Lisa's traffic reports, it's like a soap opera.
It is.
Because 2 hours ago, there was a deer walking on the freeway.
Injured.
Right.
And then first I heard there was a deer walking. Then next time I heard there was injured, and now the deer is dead.
Yeah.
So you got to follow along. But there's a
Way
table
go,
now
Lisa.
There. So
there's
if someone can drive by and drop off four chairs, and someone else can drop by a barbecue, we could all
you
be eating by the end of the show.
I like it.
I'm just saying.
Max Greenfield from New Girl is going to be joining us. He's Schmidt, don't you know? Don't you think Beer Mug should take his shirt off for the course of that interview while we do the interview?
God, no.
Why
would anyone want that?
Why punish Max and us?
To continue to make Beer Mug feel bad about himself, that's why. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
Lindsay Lohan gets a raw deal sometimes by the press. For example, she missed her flight to Washington, D.C. for the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Right.
She had to catch a later flight because apparently she was distracted by alcohol and cocaine.
And being up all
allegedly.
Night.
Allegedly. But she's a pretty good girl. At least that's what one woman thinks. While Lindsay was there at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, she was at the venue where everyone was celebrating and having a good time. She kept running to the bathroom. Not for the reason you immediately think, but because she was trying to sneak a cigarette. She kept going for cigarette breaks. Story gets weird at this point. I'm just going to really quickly say she kept telling people she doesn't smoke, but she picked up the habit in preparing her role as Elizabeth Taylor for that Lifetime movie. That's just nuts because she's been smoking forever.
Yeah.
And there's photos
yeah.
of her since she was 12 years old smoking.
Yeah, totally.
So I don't know what she's trying to pull.
And everyone knows that.
I don't know what she's trying to pull. But the story gets better because she spent so much time in the bathroom. She befriended the elderly bathroom attendant named Bianca, who was in there.
Okay.
And said to her, "You're too old to be cleaning bathroom stalls." And the woman said, "No, this is my job. It's fine." She goes, "No, you're told to be doing this," and handed her a $100 bill from her purse. Apparently, Bianca tried to refuse the money, but Lindsay insisted, once again telling her how old she was. "You're too old to be cleaning bathrooms." She screamed at her and then beat her. Beat her with her purse.
I don't think that's true.
To death.
No. So apparently it was nice. She gave her a $100 tip, and everyone was saying what a nice gesture that was. So, see? She's not all bad, Lindsay Lohan. She's a good girl. By the way, I don't think she should be giving out $100 tips, by the way. Girl hasn't worked in a long time. She should be saving her money.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Throw Bianca a tenner. That'll be fine. What the hell? She's going to be dead soon anyway. Beyonce!
Very nice.
People Magazine's Most Beautiful Woman in the World for 2012.
I buy that.
Do you?
Yeah, she's hot.
She's not even the most beautiful woman on the cover of that magazine. Mila Kunis is up in the right-hand corner. I was like, oh, already she loses.
Beyonce's got her own deal going, though.
Yeah, she does. You know, she had a baby. She had a baby named Blue Ivy.
Yes.
Just ask her.
What?
She'll tell you all about it. She did an interview this week saying she...
Was this in the news?
She wants to set the record straight. That she did not wear a prosthetic baby bump and use a surrogate mother. She actually carried that baby.
I thought we were all pretty convinced of that.
That's what I'm wondering why she is issuing these denials of a story that no one is talking about except for her. I guess we stopped talking about her and her baby for 5 minutes, so she had to come up with a new angle.
That's weird.
So there you go, everyone. Beyonce wants to know she really did carry the baby. She wanted to clear up all those rumors
that
we've all been talking about.
I'd like to announce that I am not in the Avengers.
All those rumors about Kevin playing Thor, he is not him.
Everybody
keeps saying it. It is Chris Hemsworth.
It is not me.
Glad we settled that. And lastly, Mandy Moore really hates germs.
She hates Germans?
No, germs.
We don't know about Germans either way.
She was seen at a flea market trying on used clothes, but before she would try them on, she would spray them with Lysol.
To which my response is, if you're that concerned about germs and clothes, you don't go to the flea
market.
Don't
go to the flea market.
Go to Nordstrom. Yeah. Because their clothes are boiled before they hang them. is a fact.
You don't go someplace that has flea in the title and look for the cleanest possible clothes.
No, you don't. Today's celebrity birthday is Julie Benz. She was Mrs. Dexter until she took that ill-fated bath.
It was not a good bath.
Don't take a bath when John Lithgow's around. That's all I always said that.
I've heard you say
that. I said that on the set of Harry and the Hendersons when I worked on that show. I said, I'm not taking a bath while Lithgow's prowling. She's 40 years old today. Wes Anderson, movie director, is 43 years old. Ray Parker Jr. is 58. Do we have Ghostbusters? Do we have any of his other hit?
He had a lot of hits, first of all.
Oh, stop it. Name me one other Ray Parker Jr. song that anyone gives a rat's ass about.
Shaq and Jill. The other
Shaq, woman. Shaq and Jill?
Shaq
what?
And Jill. Jack and, no, Jack and Jill.
Oh. Don't. The other woman. Does not ring a bell. Does not ring a bell. Anyone?
Shaq and Jill and the other woman.
Jack
neither
and Jill.
Of those ring a bell. Are
anyone?
You kidding
anyone?
Me?
Anyone? Anyone? Jack
sing
and Jill.
It, Bean. Sing it.
Big top ten.
Sing
I can't
it.
Sing it.
Sing it.
Sing it
for us.
Let's have Omar send in a clip
just
and we'll play it for you next time.
Sing Jack and Jill for us.
Jack ran up the hill. I don't know the words, but listen, let's have Omar send it in. You will recognize it. Top 10 song from Ray Parker. And the other woman, another one, a top 10 song from Ray Parker.
Denied.
A lot of hits.
Easy.
A woman needs love just like you do.
Overruled.
That was a big hit for him.
Denied.
A ton of them.
Oh, Keyboard Cat says no. I'm sorry.
That's
too bad.
Omar, get on it.
Ray Parker Jr. is 58 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Seriously, let's talk some more about Hannah Simone.
I don't want to talk about anything else, although maybe I got time for a little Zoe. I could talk about a little Zoe, too. Oh, yeah, and Max Greenfield is here, too.
Why
I guess
you just
he's
talk
on
about another show while
what?
You're at it?
Huh? What?
I guess he's on that show, too. We're talking New Girl, Tuesday nights on Fox, and Max Greenfield plays Schmidt. He joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, how are you, Max?
You know, I'm a little disappointed you're not here. You didn't. I all of a sudden, I come in.
You make the effort.
See,
Bean doesn't. Right.
You come in. He doesn't.
I know. What do
you
mean?
Like,
he is.
I walk. What do you mean? Bean's in Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle. Yeah.
Look,
what?
That's where he is
all the time.
The problem is you're used to being the most buff guy in the room, and all of a sudden I get in there and you get a little bit of competition, then he gets ugly, and I don't think anybody wants that.
I get a
We don't want a buff off to break out. Okay.
I get a phone call. Kevin and Bean are so excited to meet you. I mean, I'm so excited to meet them.
Yeah, but not Bean.
And then I walk in the door. Where's Bean?
You know, Bean not included, right.
He does come down a couple of times a year and has to come down this weekend for a concert.
Yes.
Oh, what concert? What concert are you coming down for?
Can't come
early. Oh, yeah, baby.
Can't come early for you, so sorry about that.
Yeah, it's okay.
Max,
it's okay. I forgive you.
All right.
First of all, congratulations on New Girl. We've said this many times on the air, but very rarely does a show come out of the gate and is great from episode one, and yours was like that. So congratulations on that. It must be such a dream for an actor to be on a show that kind of hits the ground running like that, right?
That's very nice of you.
Did you know that it was that special? Because you've been on, you know, 10 other TV shows here and there, but did you know this was something that was going to catch on like it did?
No, I don't think you really ever do.
But you didn't even get a feeling like reading. This is, seems like it's a cut above.
I think there was a little bit of a sense of we all felt like this was good. We all felt really passionate about it. We were like, I'm pretty sure.
Well.
Yeah,
you're afraid to be too excited.
Yeah, when you're doing it, you go, I'm pretty sure this is funny, you guys.
we might be doing good work.
Yeah, but you don't ever. But by the way, I've been on shows that have not been good and not been funny, and at the time, been involved with them, been like, hey guys. We're really making something special here. And then, you know, in hindsight, you then look at it and you go, I think I jumped the gun on that one.
But well, maybe too excited.
But this one, you really felt like it was something special, and it was nice to be validated when it came out.
Well, I got to tell you, we've talked about this before. Like, Bean was so excited about 30 Rock when it began, and some of us were okay with it, but it took a while. It took a build. You know, it takes a show a couple of years to hit its stride. And that's the amazing thing about New Girl is hit its stride show one.
Yeah.
Which is rare.
Very rare. And also, I think, you know, Zoe was kind of the name brand of that show. And that's who they really played up in the pre-show promos and everything. So I didn't know what to expect from the supporting cast, but this is one of those rare shows on TV where every single character is interesting and every single character seems to be the right actor playing that character. You know what I mean? There's no, like, superfluous people, and that's a real compliment to your people, too.
No, yeah, totally. And I you know, I think that's a compliment to everybody because it was a real team effort in terms of our producers and our writers and the studio and the network, and they came together, they put the right people in the right roles, and then we were so lucky to have Zoe kind of headlining this. And I think, you know, it takes so much for an audience to lock on to a show. It was so nice having Zoe and her presence that she had built already kind of frontlining us so that when, you know, you tuned in, you were like, I want to see the Zooey Deschanel show.
Right.
And we had that luxury of them wanting to tune in and then kind of getting over that hump of oh, wait, I like the other people on this show, too, and then...
But that brings us to our only complaint about the show.
Oh, please.
And that is that if Zooey Deschanel moves in with three guys, all three guys fight over her. They're in love with
her.
From
minute one.
And there's nothing any of the three can do about it. They're in love with her.
And not one person on your show yelled, I got first.
And none of you are really in love with her that way.
Well,
and
but so they we have
Nick kind of is.
Yes, but we have to kind of suspend disbelief and go, all right, okay, this is a show where they're not in love with her. Okay, good. Now it's funny.
They did confess during their private time that they think of her sometimes.
Right.
Sure. Yes.
But
yes.
They should be spending every minute of every day trying to see her naked. That's what would happen in real life.
We would see Schmidt on the roof, right? Like leaning down, trying to see her in the shower. Come on.
Yeah, but see, then it gets weird.
Of course.
And then it becomes a different show.
Right. And it wouldn't go. But we're just saying that's what we think
of. Then all of a sudden, the audience goes, I'm not sure I like these guys. They're kind of creepy. Maybe America's Sweetheart Zooey Deschanel should move out immediately.
So you're saying maybe because that there's our a bunch ideas of... aren't the best for this show is what you're saying.
Yes, they made the right decisions. All right, okay. Tell us.
You guys should write a spec, though. Yeah, write
like
a spec
it.
And send it
we'll
over.
Get right on that.
And we'll all take a look at it. And who knows?
what was the paragraph explaining to you what Schmidt is all about? What did you know about Schmidt when the show began?
I don't know that I read the paragraph.
Like, is there a backstory? What do they tell you about this guy that you're now being?
I read the script. To be totally honest with you, I saw that he took his shirt off in the first, you know, three pages maybe, and I went, oh man, I'm gonna have to go to the gym. and then I saw that he takes his shirt off again on page 17, and I went, I should probably go to the gym now.
Right, today.
And then I think he takes his shirt off one more time in the script, and I was like, well, I'm never going to get this job. This seems like too much effort.
Has there ever been an episode where Schmidt hasn't taken his shirt off?
A few towards the end, and I thank the writers for that because I just couldn't maintain anymore. I really broke down. I started eating. If you notice, there's a couple scenes where I have my shirt off in some of the last few episodes, and uh-huh. I just...
I'm not looking that close, but...
Well, if you were... I'm holding, you know, convenient objects.
Oh,
really? In front of pregnancies?
Yeah, in front of my like lower abs.
Come on,
just doesn't look the same as it used to. In the beginning, I was so excited and I had so much energy, and then towards the end, I'm like, I'm exhausted. I can't do sit-ups anymore.
We had Spartacus in here a few weeks ago, and he said, yeah, it's great to be on this show, but I mean, it's a full-time 24/7 job because you have to always realize you're going to go into work tomorrow and be naked again. And it sounds miserable. It's worth it, though, I guess, if you get to be Schmidt, right?
I mean, I'd rather be Spartacus.
Well, I don't think those were the options.
No, it wasn't.
You don't mind my saying.
I let me tell you something. I think I was available for Spartacus at one point.
Uh-huh.
I did not get that audition.
I see. Okay. All right.
Can you imagine, though?
That'd be awesome.
Max Greenfield as Spartacus.
That'd be great. Super short Jewish Spartacus,
yeah,
right?
That would be a different show. That would be a different show.
Spartacus would be the name of it.
We're breaking down barriers. Look at me. Now, Max Greenfield on the cover of Jewish Weekly.
I did it, you guys! I did it! I'm Spartacus!
We had your beautiful co-star Hannah Simone in here the other day.
Sure did.
And she said, ask Max how much he loves CrossFit.
No, she said, wait till the end. Because he won't stop talking about it.
Oh, is that what she said?
Yeah, I didn't remember. She said, wait till the end because he's too excited about CrossFit.
Is CrossFit all that, Max? Is that the key?
Oh, yeah. It really is. I won't bore you with my CrossFit geekery. But
it's up there?
It's just about the best. It really is. If you need to get in shape very quickly,
he's trying to hold
he's
back
embarrassed.
His love.
Look, I'm blushing.
She told us his eyes will light up he'll just go crazy when you.
Why
look.
Do you love it so much?
Because you know what, guys, I work very. We work very long hours on the show, I have a beautiful wife and a beautiful daughter at home, and you know, I spend my little time with them. However, you know, I need a little me time here and there.
Sure.
So I'll sneak off to the gym to CrossFit, and I'll get a little me time, and I'll just, you know, do about 20 minutes of heavy weights and cardio,
right,
and just go into a dark place.
Go into a dark place.
Wow. It's taking a turn.
What happens in that dark place?
I don't know. You just go in there and you just get it done.
Okay. So it's a time saver.
Hannah Simone told you to ask me about it.
And
you know, we're talking.
I know. I'm sorry.
And now we're talking about it. Way to go, Bean.
Is it something that you enjoy or something that you do because you have to do it to stay in shape?
Because you're going to take your shirt off.
I genuinely enjoy it.
Really?
I also, you know, it works. It's really good. It gives
and you're
me
not
lot.
In there for 3 hours.
No, you're not in there. Sometimes I'm in there for 10 minutes. Yeah. Sometimes I'm in there for 40.
I've tried CrossFit for a minute. I've got up to a minute now.
Yeah.
Jesus, in and out like that. It's nuts.
Yeah, you can.
Doesn't do you much good, but I mean it.
I think a minute's too short, but
everybody has his time limit. You know what I mean?
But that's what do you know? Look at Kevin's body and then look at yours. What do you know?
That's all as right? long as I can go. Just saying.
Max Greenfield is here. The show is New Girl with another new episode tonight on Fox at 9 o'clock. More with our guests right after this on the Kevin. What's new with the X Games this year? We'll catch up with Sal Masekela coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, our friend Jimmy Kimmel will be joining us next hour, talking about his weekend with the president. Hey, give me some of that New Girl theme, would you please? Let me hear some of that.
Who's that girl?
Who's that girl?
Who's that girl?
Who's that girl?
It's just...
Is that the shortest theme on television, Max Greenfield?
Well, there's a full-length version.
Yeah, they change it all the time. And I think it was either this past week or the week before where they actually cut away before you even slid in with your part.
It depends. It depends how long the cut of the episode is.
I was like, give Max a beat before you cut away.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Max is here. He plays Schmidt on New Girl, another new episode tonight at 9. So, look, not to put too fine a point on it, but there are days when you go to work where you are in bed with Hannah Simone and that's your job for the day is just doing that. Right?
Sure. I mean, I say lines too, and we do some acting. We do,
yeah,
but that's the day. Sure.
Is it ever? You know, forgive me for asking a boneheaded question, but is it ever? Does it ever get awkward or uncomfortable? Or
yeah,
or sexy?
It gets awkward.
Apparently, not a boneheaded question.
How about that?
Sexy? I don't know because there's 400 crew members looking down.
And you're just trying to hold in your abs.
Do you do that? Do you suck in your stomach and just keep it in? No? Don't look at
yes.
me like that.
Yes.
Look at the
yes.
look
no, yes.
He's
you.
Really staring me down.
No. I wasn't giving you a stare down like...
I thought we were going to fight.
No. That wasn't a fight. That wasn't a fight. Look, it was...
Okay.
It was... I'm going to be truthful right now.
Okay.
I'm going to put this over the airwaves. Yeah, I do.
Okay, good.
I do.
Hear that. Good.
So that's part of the unsexiness in the room. But I'm like Jake Johnson, who plays Nick on the show. I'll sometimes be getting out of the shower in a scene, and I'll screw up a line, and Jake will go, "Hey guys, give him a break. He can't get the line out. He's sucking in his abs too hard." and I'll turn to Jake and I go, "Thanks, man."
That's very nice.
Have you ever been to anyone's apartment, like the one on the show, that has a bathroom that holds so many people at one time and includes urinals? It's crazy, that bathroom, right?
It's awesome.
That's a strange question.
It's really awesome. It's that bathroom's fully functioning.
Is it really?
Yeah. No, it's not. But it'd be great if it were. And then just crew
Did
members
you check
could
it
go
out
in
a couple
there.
Times?
I tried
hey,
on day one.
Max, it's not a working bathroom.
Yeah,
you might want to go in and clean it up.
Max, there is a bathroom for you.
Right.
It's not the one on set. I'm so sorry. I'm a method actor. I wanted to inhabit the space.
Clean up,
Max. Charity thing coming up. What's going on?
Oh, yeah. Guys, listen to this.
All right.
Back on the subject of working out. So
yes.
Let's talk about that some more.
All right.
I do these videos for the internet every once in a while to promote the show, unbeknownst to the studio or network, which is always fun.
Oh, that's nice of you.
Good.
And I did one recently about Schmidt working out. Vulture, the New York Times site, had run a piece on me about, you know, what they thought a Schmidt DVD, workout DVD would look like. And
right.
I responded with a video, and it was a spinning video. and what my thoughts on spinning would be. So we released the video, and it got such a great response, and one of the local studios called, spinning studios, and was like, "Hey, do you want to do a charity event?"
You're not doing a spinning charity.
Oh, sure am. I sure am. So I will be teaching this Sunday at 2 and 3.
You're kidding.
Two spinning classes in character as Schmidt at SoulCycle for a charity that I love called Milk and Bookies. It's going to be amazing. There's going to be some real serious dance music being played.
Sure.
And I'm going to go off.
I can imagine.
You're really going to meet it. I mean, you're going to show up and put them through the rigors.
I'm gonna freak out so bad. It's going to be so intense. If you want,
I'll give you an extra $100 if somebody runs from the class screaming and crying.
You might be paying several hundred dollars.
Oh my God!
It's going to be so intense. It's going to be great. If you wanna sign up, go to info@milkandbookies.org.
What's Milk and Bookies?
Yeah, what is that?
Milk and Bookies is a great charity. They provide books to kids who can't, you know, ordinarily get them.
Not the can't read bean.
Oh, I was going to say, because they're the wrong people to get books to.
No, they promote, you know, education. And what's really nice is a lot of the books they give out are brand new. So these kids who are not used to getting, you know, new things. It's like, this is for you.
Mm. Oh, nice.
This is yours. And I think that's very empowering to the kids.
And you're going to do that good work by terrorizing women in a spin class.
You know it.
As Schmidt.
It's going to be so intense. I'm shaking right now thinking about it.
That's fun.
The amount of Rihanna dance mixes that are going to be played at high level volumes.
Are you going to videotape that and put it up? Because I think we need to see a little.
I think it would be too mind blowing. Although we're working with Hello Giggles, which is Zoe's a website, which is a fantastic website, and they might be live streaming some of it. So
there you go.
We'll see.
So milkandbookies.com is where they want to go for more information about the event.
Yeah, you want to email info@milkandbookies.org and just say what time you want to go and how many bikes you need, and it's $100 a bike, and it goes to a really great cause,
and you get to take a class from Schmidt.
Yeah, and I hope to see you all there, because it's going to be nuts.
Tonight at 9 on Fox, another brand new episode of New Girl. Max, keep up the great work, man. Awesome to meet you. Thank you so much.
Do you still
in.
Have the broken penis on tonight's episode?
I sure do, and you I do. Have it throughout the rest of the season,
right?
To be honest with you. It was not just a, ooh, that hurts. It was a real injury.
Okay, I just wanted to check.
Have you ever experienced that?
No.
Bean?
No.
Not even in Seattle. I hear Seattle's nuts.
They're crazy up there.
Yeah.
But none of the women up there's vaginas have a 90-degree angle, like you said.
You don't
on the
know
shows.
That. You don't know that.
Good point.
Yeah.
You don't know that until back it's
in
too
those,
late.
Back in those grunge days, people did some weird stuff and might have, you know, gotten a little twisted up.
Oh, it sounds fantastic. We love the show. We love you as Schmidt, of course. It is
not
Tuesday.
Not so much in person, though.
Oh, come on.
You're not even
here in person.
You can't judge that, can you?
I kid because I love. Thank you so much for coming in, man. We
lovely in person. Lovely.
About 20 minutes from right now at 9 o'clock, win your tickets and backstage passes for the sold-out 20th K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta happening this Saturday. By the way, keep heading on over to krock.com every day to get additional details on the Weenie Roast, of course, with the live broadcast and the band set times and what's going on online if you can't be there in person. A lot of good information up there at krock.com. Speaking of information, how about our friend Sal Masekela back on the phone? Hey, Sal. How are you, buddy?
I am young and ready to set the world on fire.
I know that you are, and we are very excited by the new X Games news, and we do want to talk about it, but first, Kevin wants to make fun of you. Kevin, go.
All right. The Clippers are down 27. You're a Clipper fan. They're down 27 in a playoff game.
Against Memphis on Sunday night.
In frustration, you, Sal Masekela, turned off the TV.
I didn't turn off the TV. I handed the remote to my girlfriend and literally said, I can't be part of this anymore. It hurts too bad.
Right.
Do what you want. And she turned on Girls.
That's even worse than turning it off.
That's not a bad choice. There's nothing wrong with that show. But that show doesn't give you the opportunity to see your boys come back with one of the most shocking comebacks in NBA playoff history and win the game.
Like, if I was going to go to something, it would have been like, I don't know, SportsCenter or or maybe some hockey playoffs.
Sure.
But the fact that I was watching girls
yeah.
while the world was changing.
You need to take your stripes, man.
Yeah, as a part of the Clipper Nation. a fan wrote me on Twitter that I had to serve a 2-game suspension.
All right, I just wanted to bring that up because it's funny. Now, Sal, the X Games this year are normal, correct?
Yes.
Okay. What's happening next year?
Next year, my passport is going to get all sorts of pretty stamps in it because the X Games announced today that we are going global.
Now, when I first heard that, I thought, oh, no, they're going to have skateboarders in, you know, Barcelona, and they're going to have BMX bikes in Los Angeles, and they're going to have, you know, all at once, and it kind of scared me a little bit. Explain to people how it's going to work.
Well, we're going to have 6 different events now around the world that will incorporate all of your favorite sports at X Games. So, yeah, we'll be in Barcelona, Spain. We'll be in Munich, Germany at Olympic Park. We'll be at Foz de Iguazu in Brazil, which is right on the border of Argentina and Paraguay. They've got beautiful falls there. And these are all places that, you know, have been celebrating the action sports culture for a long time. And now we're going to get to go and bring that the massive big show X Games experience across the globe. And coupled with what we've been doing out in France in the winter, with the European Winter X Games
right.
And Team France, plus Aspen, Colorado, and Los Angeles, it's going to be a 6-stop party. And it's great because about like 8 or 9 years ago, there used to be lots of action sports content on ESPN outside of just the 2 X Games events.
Right.
And then it got narrowed down just to the 2 events. But even though it got narrowed down to those 2 events, action sports continued to grow. And I'm stoked that ESPN decided to say, you know what, we've really got to serve the audience and give them more and really celebrate the culture more.
So contrary to my fear that you were just going to split it up, you're going to do a full X Games and then
in
one city, and then about a month later another full X Games at another city.
Yeah.
So it's a season of X Games. That's awesome.
It's a season of X Games. And how much does that suck for me, the guy who already has one of the greatest jobs in the world, that they just had to go and put a little something on it?
Yeah, you get to travel the world now even more.
Yeah. Now, here's the question that I have. We're used to, say, the Summer Games, August in Los Angeles, and those are the awards. That's when people are competing for their golds and their silvers and whatnot. Will that also happen in the other cities? Will there also be just, I mean, do you have the potential now to win, you know, 4 or 5 gold medals in the same event around the world in the course of 2013?
Yeah, you get a chance to really up your hardware.
So they all count. In other words, you can compete and win in Barcelona, and then a couple of weeks later compete and win again, or not, in Munich, Germany, and then move on to Los Angeles. It's just every city's a do-over.
Of course. How lame would it be if you, like, won in L.A. and they're like, sorry.
Sorry, it wasn't Brazil.
You can't go to Sean, why Barcelona and hang out with the Spanish girls because you won in L.A. that'd be a little weird.
This sounds like a massive undertaking, but good for us, the viewer.
It is a massive undertaking. It also it's going to really celebrate the lifestyle end of the culture a little bit more outside of just the competition. So I think we're going to see a really big, you know, like live music component coming into play with really big bands. I think we'll see a lot more digital content just based around the lifestyle of action sports and all this travel internationally. And it's gonna be fun, man. I think it's gonna go back to the roots of what X Games is about and really celebrating action sports culture.
Sounds great.
Let me ask one more question with our friend Sal Masekela on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show, salmasekela.com, talking about the X Games expansion for 2013, and that is, what has the growth of action sports been in places like, you mentioned Brazil, for instance. I mean, did the kids, because of the internet, did the kids grow up there now watching, you know, all of our skateboarders on video, and then now they've gone out and turned that into a thing down there? It's spread around the world because of all the videos online?
Indeed, and I think, for instance, you mentioned skateboarding. Think of somebody like Bob Burnquist.
Yeah, mm-hmm. From there.
Came from a real small town in Brazil and really put Brazilian skateboarding on the map. And the second he started winning medals, you know, in 2002, 2003, that was broadcast around the world. And little kids across Brazil suddenly had a new hero outside of just their favorite soccer star to emulate. And skateboarding literally exploded. When you go to Brazil, you know, kids are skateboarding everywhere you go. And some of the best skateboarders in the world have come to sort of California and now live here and are making a name for themselves as a result of that path that Bob Burnquist sort of set on. Barcelona, for example, in the summertime, some of the best pro street skaters literally go and move to Barcelona to go to film video parts and shoot photos and what have you. It's become a real hotbed of street skateboarding. So, yeah, these sports, I think as a result of X Games and then also the YouTube generation where there's no boundaries anymore. There's no nationalities in these sports because kids can communicate and see what one's doing across the globe.
All right, we're running low on time, but tell us when this year's X Games are. First weekend of August?
No, because of the Olympics this year, we've dialed it back. So we're at the last weekend of June into the 1st of July.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
We're not going to compete against the Olympics.
No.
So, we'd like some people to watch the show.
Sure. Okay. So it's the last weekend of June, just before July. And then when is the first X Games in 2013?
I do not know yet.
All right.
But when I do,
you'll let people
know.
I will let
you guys know.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. All right. X Games, you can get all the information on their website and salmaskilva.com. Awesome, awesome news. Congratulations, Sal. You really, like you said when you came on, you now have the best job in the world plus one. Good luck to you, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
No worries. Talk to you guys soon. Take care.
Thank you, Sal.
San Diego, happiness is calling. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Wait, hold on. I thought San Diego's where happiness happened.
It happened.
Now it's
there,
calling.
Then people left, so now it's calling.
I'm calling you back.
Fair enough.
Yes.
The toughest gig in comedy, I have been told, White House.
Yes, it's very hard for me to do the showbiz beat, but I try.
No. The White House Correspondents' Dinner, being the entertainment for that event, which happened this past Saturday night at the Hilton Hotel, about 5 feet from President Obama, Jimmy Kimmel had to really just make fun of the man right there next to him. We're going to find out what that was like for him when he joins us in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Plus, we got Weenie Rose tickets and backstage passes for you, too. Ralph is here with the showbiz beat. Now, what's going on?
I think he farted around the president the way he used to when he worked with us.
I don't
think ask him
Jimmy
that. Did.
I don't. I think if there was one in the chamber, he couldn't help it. Yes.
If that happened, I think the Secret Service should have wrestled him to the ground and taken him out. Because he's deadly when it comes to that. That would be assault against the POTUS.
He would have.
I think he was too nervous.
I think he would have.
Well, that creates more gas sometimes, Lisa.
Oh, all right.
Lisa was talking about San Diego being a place where happiness is happening and calling you. It is calling you for next week because Kevin Smith and I, it's the return of Hollywood Babylon, only we're doing it down in the San Diego area tomorrow, or not tomorrow, but next week. It's happening on Tuesday night. It's a rare Tuesday night Babylon in Solana Beach at the Belly Up Club, Solana Beach, California, right down there near San Diego. We'd love to have you come out and join us. You can go to csmod.com or BabylonRalph or BabylonKev.com for details and for tickets. But we're taking the show on the road. We're going to Solana Beach, and then Louisville, Kentucky, then Phoenix, Arizona this month. A lot of traveling for the Babylon. So
you're going to have roadies and all that, the whole thing?
Yeah, we got roadies. We've got groupies. We got people who follow us around in microvans, selling falafel in the parking lot, doing all of our songs on acoustic guitars in a big drum circle.
Will Glenda be there?
That's a good question. Why Louisville, Kentucky, of all the cities in America, Ralph?
We have a large following in the college communities, and apparently there's a large school in Louisville.
That's right. University of Kentucky,
good enough.
Right?
Called Louisville. Yeah. And so they will be there, and good stuff will happen.
That's exciting.
There's two there. There's University of Kentucky, and there's also Louisville, right? Aren't they two different schools?
It's exciting either way.
Anyway, we're going under your beeswax while we're going. That's just where we're going. Why don't you go get a haircut in another state and leave me out of it?
A weird choice.
It's not weird. It's fine. It's a fine choice.
Okay. It's kind of place you usually make fun of for not being on the coast. I was just surprised to see you going there. That's all.
Just any chance to be a dick. Just any chance.
That's my point.
Can't pass it up. He can't pass it up. I'm telling you. Octomom told us she would never go on welfare. Now that she's on welfare, she told us she would never do porn. Well, she's going to do porn.
What?
She has announced that she will be doing some work with an online adult entertainment company. Porn site.
Overruled!
But there will be no touching with other people because she's a bit of a germaphobe and does not want contact with other human beings. So she is going to do a solo video for this company. And so she says, technically, it's still not porn. She vowed never to do porn, and now she says technically she's keeping up to that vow.
I'd like to suggest that that solo porn is porn.
Solo porn doesn't count, Kevin.
Okay. Bill Clinton, good.
Well, she appears alone in the video. It doesn't count, she claims.
All right.
So she's staying by her vow not to do porn. She doesn't seem to realize, we don't care. We don't care if she's in a donkey show. What's the vow for? What are you trying to prove to us? We already think you're the lowest of the lowlifes. You're not keeping your image clean and wholesome by not doing porn.
I'd be more interested in the donkey show.
I'd like to see you in an anaconda wrestle in a swamp. I'd like to see you do porn with a gator. I don't care.
Is that possible?
No one cares. Do it. Do a snuff film. We don't care.
Oh, well, that
nothing. Don't worry about protecting our opinion of you. Hell.
What's the likelihood that a lot of people will want to pay to watch the Octomom masturbate, do you guys think?
I don't.
She is not attractive.
I can only speak for me, but no thanks.
I mean, I guess there's some fascination with what it must look like after 14 babies have come out of it, but that's not sexy.
No.
I think there's a certain celebrity factor. There always will be people wanting to see people who are famous or pseudo-famous in sexual or naked pictures or videos.
Their hotness and their likability both kind of play into that.
I don't know. People are demanding. They really desperately want to see the Hulk Hogan video. Now that the stills have been online,
seriously, why?
People want to see. Why do you want to see Hulk Hogan sex video?
Right.
By the way, we'll be talking to Hulkster tomorrow. We'll be having a conversation with the Hulkster.
Is that right? Fantastic.
Yeah. He's been putting up a fight, saying he doesn't want to do it, but apparently,
as long as it's really the Hulkster, I'm down with it.
No, it's going to be you doing your hilarious Hulk impression.
Can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be good. The daughter of Natalie Wood and Robert Wagner, Courtney Wagner, arrested last Sunday for cocaine and heroin possession. Apparently, there was a heated altercation inside her Malibu home that ended with a gunshot.
Wow.
A bystander heard the screaming and the gunshot, called the police. They showed up. They found her boyfriend. He was the one who had fired the gun. They also found heroin and cocaine in her home. They're charging the boyfriend with negligent discharge of a firearm. And Courtney's being slapped with the felony drug charges. Wow, Natalie Wood's daughter sounds like she's really gone overboard. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying. Sounds like she really needs someone to have a heart-to-heart with her. Robert Wagner's daughter.
Magnificent! Hold your leg down, apples! He would make Barbara Walters cry! Ingenious!
It wasn't that good.
It's absolute perfection! It is absolute genius!
It wasn't that
as
funny.
Clean as a whistle!
It wasn't that good.
As good as it gets!
It was not as good as it gets.
Not as good as it gets.
Wonderful!
Nope. That girl is drowning with problems. That's all I gotta say. I think she
astonishing! Mm-hmm. This is not just a dream, it's a wet dream
someone
of orgasmic proportions!
In. Someone needs to step in. Throw her a life raft, you know what I'm saying?
Magnificent! Hold your leg down, apples!
Just saying.
A gift from the gods!
Today's celebrity birthdays. Julie Benz, she was Mrs. Dexter. Till the Trinity Killer got to her. Damn him.
Whoa.
Hey, spoiler alert.
I haven't seen that yet.
Spoiler alert. Oh, sorry about that, Lisa. Sorry.
I don't know seen that yet.
Sorry, Lisa. It was
right
only three seasons ago.
I'm catching up on Netflix.
Yeah, well, not my problem. If you're three seasons behind, you don't get the spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert is
damn
a day
you.
Or two.
Yeah, or a week.
Maybe a week for a movie. That's it. You don't get I'm still on season two when it's
right.
season
everyone else
seven.
Is on season six.
Wait, they kill King Kong? Now you tell me? Oh. I haven't seen it yet. Come on.
That's spoiler alert. Wes Anderson, the movie director, 43 years old today. And Ray Parker Jr., who only ever had one hit his entire life.
Something strange.
There he is.
In a neighborhood.
Ghostbusters.
Who you gonna call? Ghostbusters!
He's 58.
Now, I told you last hour that I thought that you would recognize a couple of other Ray Parker
songs.
Yeah,
Jack and Jill Went Up the Hill. No one ever heard of that song.
I've heard the poem. Let me have a little bit of Jack and Jill, please.
All right.
Hit it, Steve.
Jack, wanting someone to feel.
I love the background singer.
Sound familiar? Big top 10 hit, Ralph? Come on.
You don't remember Jack and
Not
Jill?
Not even a little bit.
What is wrong with you?
Isn't it good music?
Maybe you're too excited about Jack and Jill.
Maybe.
All right. How about a little The Other Woman? I'm sure you recognize this.
Oh, I'm in love. I'm in love with the other woman.
I sort of recognize that
one. Another
big
hit.
Get this off the air.
I don't know about big
hit. Sort of.
It doesn't hit me.
It's like one of those oh yeah hits.
I demand a little respect for the great Ray Parker Jr.
I don't even know what that is.
Next hour, a little bit of You Can't Change
No,
That.
No, we don't need more.
Come right back
Plus,
with that.
This is the guy who punched your wife in the vulva. You're just talking about his career and how great he is.
I'm not sure that's what happened, but he was a dick to Bean's wife, and Bean is really in love with him still.
She was in a car, and he punched her?
That's right, one of those Swedish cars you could drive.
Yeah. It was crazy.
I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat. Lisa.
Tickets to this weekend sold out. 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta every hour from now till Loveline, including just now. Alvin Alexander from Harbor City just won his tickets. Your chance to win coming up, and details at K-Rock.com. Hey, give me our friend Jimmy Kimmel on the phone here. Hey, James, how are you?
What's happening? How are you?
Very good.
Did you ever think when you left K-Rock all those years ago, 10 years, 12 years, whatever it was, that we'd still be playing POD in 2012? Did that ever cross your mind one time?
It's weird that you say that, because I did feel so alive for the very first time when I heard it.
Well,
I
actually
love that song. I do too.
I actually like that one a lot. I like the Youth of the Nation still too. Yeah. I'm so glad you took some time. I'm sure you've had a million interview requests after your big high profile comedy appearance in DC this weekend. How insane is it that the President of the United States even knows who you are, much less is, you know, co-headlining an event with you in D.C.? I mean, it's just got to be one of the strangest things that ever happened to you.
I have to say, I was standing up on the dais next to Michelle Obama, and I looked at her and I said, I have no idea what I'm doing here. This makes no sense at all.
You couldn't get your head around it.
It's really weird. It's like watching Forrest Gump, and he's inserted in all those famous scenes through history, except I'm Forrest.
What's the behind the scenes of, do they vet everything you're going to say? What's the security check? Like, what's that kind of stuff like?
The security is very, you have to go through the magnetometer, and every time you go to the bathroom, you have to go back through it again. That's very intense. But as far as, like, my jokes and what I was going to say, I was given no input, no direction.
Really?
And never did anyone request to see them.
Wow.
That is shocking to me. And even the little video that you played ahead of your live appearance, behind the microphone, your famous, unnecessary censorship, some of that stuff is pretty rough. I mean, you do make it appear like the president and people in his administration are saying the foulest things possible. Were you worried about how something like that would play in that room?
You know me. I never really think ahead. So afterwards, if people are upset, I'm just
shocked.
But I have to say, the president, I watched him during that video, and for about the first 40 seconds, I didn't think he understood what was going on. He didn't get
it.
Oh,
really? He's like, what is this?
Well,
I
think most of the audience was like that, too. It's like they're looking at it and kind of going, well, I that's me, and I know I wasn't cursing. And
right.
What's happening here? But everyone, by the second half, everyone started laughing really hard.
Did you spend any time with the president other than up on the dais that we could see on television Saturday night?
Just, afterwards everyone showers together. There's like a,
that's nice.
It's like a thing. So just in the shower, that was it.
How is
you don't want to shower with our first black president. That can't be good, right?
Yeah, my luck. I get to shower with our first black president.
What kind of a sense do you get when you're up there? Look, you've hosted a lot of things. You've done a lot of comedy on stage, both on television and off. But are you aware of how things are going over in the room as you're going through that material? Or were you just so terrified looking at your piece of paper that you didn't even know?
No, I was pretty aware of it. In fact, Sofia Vergara was really like right in front of me and was texting while I was doing my material.
Oh, how dare she!
So I was looking; I could see her navel, But yeah. I was pretty aware. I couldn't see the whole room, but I could see the first three tables all the way across.
Were they courtesy laughing at least, even if they weren't laughing?
Oh, there's no courtesy laughing at this event.
There isn't. Oh, that's
there's
brutal.
The opposite of courtesy
oh,
laughing.
Oh, that's brutal.
I think that's funny, but I cannot laugh because I'm sitting at a table with this very
oh.
fat governor of New Jersey, that kind of thing.
Until you made fun of him, and then it all was good.
Well, it wasn't because some of the people, you know, like people right around him, they did not laugh until they saw him laughing, and then they laughed.
Oh, that's weird.
Isn't that funny? And there were, I mean, I'm sure you've seen some of the fallout. I mean, obviously, this is an event that gets analyzed a lot on every, you know, entertainment show. And there are people who said, hey, I thought that went too far, making fun of Chris Christie. Like, there haven't been a billion fat jokes about Chris Christie. He's our fattest governor. That's fair game.
Well, listen, you know what? There's definitely something he could do if he doesn't want to be our fattest governor anymore.
Yeah.
And that's not eat a hippopotamus.
Right. When you first got the invitation, I'm sure you thought, well, who dropped out? Who did they try to get that turned them down? But what's the advantage for you as a television entertainer to take a gig like this, knowing how difficult it is going to be? When you see guys like Stephen Colbert who go out there and don't end up, you know, doing that great at it, what makes you want to take on a challenge like this, Jim?
Well, it's one of those things that there's an 80% chance it's going to go badly, but the 20% chance that it goes well is great because the people that are there are really the most influential people in the United States.
Right.
But
that's true if the 80% where it goes bad. That's true as well where they're the most powerful people in the country.
Yeah, you're right. But I just felt like, I don't know, I just felt like I have really good writers and we wrote a lot of jokes and I knew we'd be able to come up with something.
Did you drop any jokes?
I did, yeah.
What? Which ones? Do you remember?
Not really. I didn't drop them for the sake of feeling they were to be too outrageous.
Okay.
It was really more just kind of time and just the feel of the room and the length. You know, and sometimes if I get if I have a series of jokes about one person, if I get a big laugh on one in the middle, I just move on to the next segment.
Right.
Yeah, we're talking to Jimmy Kimmel about his event this past Saturday night alongside the president. They were the entertainment for the White House Correspondent Dinner, which was so fun. And I was so proud of you sitting there watching that, Jim. Did you get any good advice from people who have hosted in the past? I know that you're friends with, Jon Stewart, for instance. Did those guys talk to you about the do's and don'ts of an event like that?
I did, actually, yeah. I talked extensively in particular to Seth Meyers, who really gave me, he just said, listen, you have to make the president laugh. If he's laughing, they will laugh. But here's the thing. He's not going to laugh at any of the jokes made about his opponents. He's not going to laugh. You know, there's a lot of things that he just can't be seen laughing at.
Even if he wants to, he has to not.
Exactly. And so then that makes for a weird dynamic. And then it just, the dynamic is very strange. Quite a few people came up to me afterwards and said, oh, God, that was so funny. I couldn't laugh because I was sitting next to so-and-so.
God.
You know, Eric Cantor or something, you know, and you just sit there and go, oh, God.
Did you look, how soon into your monologue did you look at the president to see if he was laughing?
Because
that had to be
right
your overriding concern, right?
Yeah. Well, I think the first big laugh I got was from Michelle Obama.
Okay.
And in a way, she's more important even than the president, you know.
Right. Let me play the opening of Jimmy's appearance Saturday night, and you'll see how quickly he had the crowd on his side.
Well, thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests, Mr. President, salam.
And already it's like a roast, and the president seemed to really enjoy that. And by the way, he was great. Didn't you think that the president's material was really strong too, Jim?
I did. Yeah, he's always very good, and he obviously has some good writers, but he was really good. In fact, when he got up and pretended to go to the bathroom and then pretended that his mic was on,
right?
It was weird, including me, and you'd think I'd know better, but everyone believed at first that he just had to make a quick exit, and I thought, well, he must really have to go to the bathroom, and he seems pretty cheery about it.
Seriously, guys, what am I doing here? I'm the president of the United States, and I'm opening for Jimmy Kimmel?
Again, the president of the United States should not know your name, Jim. There's something wrong with that.
I'm sure he's forgotten it by now.
Let me play one more clip at the very end, which I thought was a fantastic way to go out, and then I want to ask you about this.
It really has been an honor for me to be here tonight, and I'd like to thank Karen Bohan for inviting me, and I also want to thank Mr. Mills, my 10th grade high school history teacher, who said I'd never amount to anything if I kept screwing around in class. Mr. Mills, I'm about to high-five the President of the United States. Is it okay?
Eat it, Mills. Thank you, everybody.
Eat it, Mills. Is that a true story, Jim?
That's true, and I loved Mr. Mills. He was one of my favorite teachers, and I really, my job in class, I thought, was to make it into a, you know, into a comedy club.
That's your job everywhere, Jim. That's how you feel about watching football and everything else that you do.
And one day, he cleared the class out. It was towards the end of the period, and I was the last one in there, and he said, people are trying to learn. And I said, and I have to say, that was a revelation to me because I never imagined that that's why we're there. He said, really? He said, yes. And I said, he said, you are not to be, you make one, you crack one more joke in class and you get an F for the semester.
Oh my God.
And it was terrible. It was the worst sentence he could, and then he lifted it because the class kind of revolted. And they were upset, and he said, all right, you can make one joke a week. And that's it. So I would sit there all week waiting until Friday, saving it up, and then I would pray that it was a good one because it was the only one I got the whole week.
Oh, wow. My God. Have you ever had any contact with him since high school, since you've become successful on television?
I have not. In fact, we were looking for him, yes. We're trying to get – apparently he retired to Idaho and I don't know. I don't even know if he's alive, but I hope.
But I hope he was watching. If he was watching, that would have been the greatest thing in the world to have that happen, right?
Hey. I would hope that somehow it got back to him.
Some guy on TV just said, "Eat it, Mills."
Well, Jimmy, I'm so happy for you. It was so much fun to watch, and I mean, in comparison, now that you've done this, the Emmys are going to be a piece of cake to host in a few months, right?
I guess. I don't know.
I mean, that's just showbiz people, right? That you got.
It is a lot easier, actually, because at least I kind of know those people.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, congratulations, man. It was awesome. And we put up a post.
I want to thank you guys for, people don't know this, originally I was planning to do the dinner in blackface, and Kevin and Bean talked me out of it. Thank you.
You can see all of Jimmy's speech, by the way, at KevinandBean.com or KRock.com. We put it up there, as well as some highlights.
Anybody that knows me knows I would not have talked you out of that.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Take care.
Thanks. Keep listening for your Weenie Roast and Fiesta backstage passes. Tickets and backstage passes coming up every hour on the air, starting this hour. So in about 20 minutes, we'll have yours for you. Right now, Ralph Garman joins us for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Ralph.
Did Ray Parker Jr. sing "When You're in Love with a Beautiful Woman"?
That was Dr. Hook.
Oh, I don't know. See? Try to think of one Ray Parker Jr. hit other than
Ghostbusters. I've been giving you nothing but Ray Parker Jr.
I don't recognize
hits.
Any of them.
That's on you. That's not on the world.
Well, everyone else in this room is looking at each other with blank stares as well.
Yeah.
I'm more interested in Bean telling the story about his wife with Ray Parker Jr. and still his current obsession with Ray Parker
Jr. All right, let's get to it now before we run out of time.
Okay.
Ray Parker Jr. punched your wife in the vulva.
No.
And you still love him and have all of his greatest hits.
Donna has told us the story on the air before, and I'm not 100% clear on the details, but my memory of how she told it is that she was working as a 15-year-old at Magic Mountain, as lots of teenagers who grew up in the Santa Clarita Valley are.
Yeah.
And she's working at the little ice cream stand there, and Ray Parker Jr., who's a pretty big star at this time after Ghostbusters and whatnot, comes up and asks for ice cream, and he wants extra ice cream. He wants to get either free ice cream or he wanted the extra scoops for free because he was famous or something like that. And Donna, you know, she's working for Magic Mountain. She doesn't have the authority to give food away. She'll get fired. She says, I'm sorry, I can't do that. You have to pay for it.
She doesn't have the ice cream authority.
He takes the cone and hurls it at her, right in her face.
Throws it back
all
in
over,
her face.
Yeah. Throws it back in her face, in her hair, all over her outfit and everything like that. She had to change the
That's
whole deal.
So mean.
Cut to current day. Bean doesn't care at all
He's
about
my
that.
Favorite. I love him. And oh, Jack Rick and Jill. Parker That's Jr. a great song.
He's probably having a bad day.
That's so unrelated to her story, I'm a fan of Ray Parker Jr. and his music, and he's a musical prodigy from the time he was a little
There's
kid.
It's no played... unrelated. It's Ray Parker Jr. Those things are exactly related.
No,
They're
but
not
I'm
unrelated.
Saying,
it's the
I'm
guy saying... that threw ice cream in your wife's face.
Right, but his personal behavior doesn't have anything to do with my affection for his records. That's all I'm saying. Doesn't
it
have anything
would
to do
if,
with.
If a guy tossed the ice cream at my wife, it would have an effect on my feelings about him.
Can
and
I
his
tell
music.
You why? You have feelings.
Oh, that's what it is.
You know, have Bean emotion.
Bean's a young Bruce Wayne who watches his parents get killed in front of him, and then says, crime's not so bad. I'm not going to bother fighting it. That's who Bean is.
Well, we got a new Ray Parker song for you when we get to the birthdays at the end of the show, Bisbee. If got another time, one for
I'm not
that
sure
you're
going to
you're going to remember. I guarantee
sure
you.
Wish, but
while we're talking about Batman, have you seen the new trailer for Dark Knight Rises?
That looks so good.
It's all over the internet, people. If you haven't seen it and you're not aware of it, check it out. The third trailer, the latest trailer for Dark Knight Rises, is now available on the internet all over the place. Warner Brothers has released it. It's amazing. It'll make you really jones for that movie coming out later this summer.
Can't wait.
Also on the internet, I want to give you a heads up. It's the internet mini roundup here on the Showbiz Beat. If you're a fan like I am of the old West Wing, the cast is reunited over there on Funny or Die today. You can check that out.
Oh, wow.
The West Wing. Would you listen
yes,
to him?
Yes, I know.
That's my favorite television girl. Show ever.
Yeah, but you don't have to make that noise.
Don't be a little girl.
I'm excited about the news. What are they doing on Funny or Die?
They have a video they put together.
Why don't you type in www.funnyordie.com?
I'm doing a radio show right now.
And they're back together again for a little sketch. It's you know, it's for a good cause, naturally. They're trying to raise awareness for something. But it's the whole cast back together again, so it's fun to see. So you can check that out. Jessica Simpson gave birth to her baby, finally, after only 20
No!
After 23 months of carrying the baby, she finally has released it. She had a longer gestation than a bull elephant. 9 pounds, 13 ounces.
Wow.
Jeez.
That's a big baby.
Yeah.
Well, she was big, too.
You're fat.
Yeah, I had the birth today. The baby was delivered today.
How much will she get for the photos, I wonder?
I don't know. She's already shopping.
I'll never understand that.
She's already shopping.
What did you guys weigh? Do you know?
No.
I have no idea what my birth weight was. Beer Muggs is shaking his head. He knows. He knows.
Well, you know. Where are you, Muggs?
I'm going to lose weight after I was born. I know that much.
8 pounds, 13 ounces.
I was 10.
Wow.
10 pounds, 10 ounces, yeah.
Were you a dick when you were born?
I'm still not a dick.
I'm just asking.
So congratulations to the Simpsons. She said she's going to be very upset if this child is athletic and wants to wear Nikes instead of Christian Louboutins, she said.
Geez. What?
Because her husband's a former NFL player, and he's a big jock, apparently.
She's trying to be funny.
She wants to make sure the daughter is a girly girl and not
that girl's fat.
So, yeah, God forbid your daughter might be in shape, Jessica. Giant walking bag of Fritos. Octomom is going to do porn after vowing she would never do it. Well, not technically porn, because she said she's doing a solo video for an online adult entertainment company.
Obviously.
So she says because it's by herself, it doesn't count as porn. Listen, are you going to be naked strumming the banjo? Then it counts.
Just let other people determine what is porn and what isn't. I'm not sure that's your right, your power.
This is not the first time Nadia has broken our hearts. After vowing, first of all, she'd never go on welfare. She did that this year, and now she's broken her vow on performing in adult entertainment. So we can't. It's as if we can't trust her. We can't believe in her word any longer. This Nadia Suleiman.
It's almost like she's getting to the point where she doesn't make good decisions anymore.
That's right.
You liar.
Today is Tuesday. Means new CDs and DVDs are in stores for your entertainment dollar. Here's what you can pick up: the Avengers soundtrack with all the various artists on it, like Soundgarden, Rise Against, Bush, Papa Roach. That's available today. You can pick that up. All or Nothing by Pennywise. They've got a new CD. You can pick that up today. Masters of My Make-Believe.
Huh?
Masters of My Make-Believe by Santigold.
Oh.
You can check that out. Carrie Underwood, if you're a country fan, has blown away her new CD. Broken Little Hearts by Norah Jones. Music of Smash by the cast of Smash, starring Smash on Smash Records. Born Villain by Marilyn Manson. Those are your CDs. DVDs, Joyful Noise, the Queen Latifah Dolly Parton vehicle. Haywire, Gina Carano's film with Michael Fassbender. W.E., the Madonna movie. And New Year's Eve, starring Halle Berry and Jessica Biel. Also available.
And 700 other people.
Yeah, a lot of big stars in that. Gary Marshall, he does that. He gets a giant cast of celebrities.
He doesn't have to write a script.
He writes a thinly veiled, sort of tangentially connected script, and then he makes a big romantic comedy.
It's really just, hey, famous people, go into that room and say some stuff, and we'll film it and put
Act
it up.
Like you can't find someone to date, and then by the end of it, you found someone. That's a wrap. Thanks, everybody. Today's celebrity birthday is Julie Benz, who played Dexter's wife. Of course, on Dexter is 40 years old today. What did you think, Lisa? She just stopped being Dexter's wife? She just left the show?
Well,
she was not interested any longer? Lisa was upset because
she was killed in the bathtub.
Oh, see? Now you're compounding
now
it.
Now you're telling me where?
2 seasons ago. 3 seasons ago. When was it, Ralph?
I think three seasons ago.
We actually already knew that she was dead. We had her on the show.
But
you didn't know John Lithgow killed her as the Trinity Killer
in her
bathtub?
I didn't know who the killer was.
Oh, well then, you're going to be surprised when you see that episode. Wes Anderson, movie director, is 43 years old today. And singer-songwriter Ray Parker Jr. is 58 years old. As we mentioned, his only hit, Ghostbusters, the Ghostbusters theme. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters.
How dare you?
That was it.
How dare you?
Ray Parker's hit.
Yeah. That was it. All right. How about bring up a little
tomorrow
bit
morning,
of.
Tomorrow morning. What?
You can't change that. Let me give it one more shot at Ralph.
Okay, this one I remember.
Yeah. You're the only one I need. Right?
I do remember
Ray Parker.
I do remember that song.
And then there was this one.
This was the theme of Ghostbusters 2.
That was Ghostbusters,
yeah, Ghostbusters 2,
right?
2 theme. Yeah.
That was a weird experimental phase he was going through for a while there.
Yeah, all right. That's it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show this week.
Hey, Ralph, tomorrow morning on All-New Show, we have Ryan Scheckler on talking about skating for a cause. We have Adam Carolla doing This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
We have garbage in studio.
What?
That's awesome.
I love garbage. Yay.
How long's it been?
Too long.
Yeah, years.
Garbage in studio. They're playing the Weenie Roast.
Are they going to perform?
I'm not positive. That's the first thing I asked Dave. I'm not positive about that.
I don't care. I don't care if they're performing or not. I'm going to be here.
Well, you have to be here anyway.
I don't have to. Okay. I was going to take tomorrow off, but now I'm coming
Garbage
in.
Garbage will be here. And speaking of the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta, we have your pit tickets also tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and